Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines, to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more. We're able. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off from mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
King, she feels the terrible, and the knights of the round table.
What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look.
The turtle. All right, we're king. She says the turtle and the knights of the round table.
So basically, in the last week or so, my wife and I, we went out to her father's house and we got some little cherry sprouts and we brought them home and we planted them out there in part of our orchard and different parts of our property. And so I basically go out there every day, you know, put a little water on them and stuff like that. Well, here in the last two or three days, every single day that I go out there, there has been some sort of critter that has decided that it's more important to dig up the cherry sprouts and basically get me really angry and frustrated. So, you know, like I'm already aggravated because I got things, you know, I drove my tractor into a tree and the car broke down and the kids are raising a ruckus and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm thinking to myself, man, what could go wrong? Then I find out I got this nifty little creature that's decided he wants to dig into the side of my new pond. And then I see all the drought and all the stuff going on around me. And it's kind of like you throw pennies in a jar and you can only get so many pennies in a jar before it starts to overfill. This old crazy here, Shaziz, is trying to be a peaceful man, walk through the world, and it's getting really frustrating. You know, so that's kind of like where I'm going to start off today, but I hope that I end up in a really good place before it's all said and done. Because I get out there and I look at the news and I try to see what's going on, and I know that the lies and the propaganda are so widespread that there's so many differences of opinions in average communities that it's just mind-blowing. Folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you come visit, yeah, stay off my lawn. Don't dig up my cherry trees. try to be peace and love and all that.
Dumping any of your trash.
Yeah, don't throw your trash on my lawn. I mean, I want to recycle your trash and use it for funding research. We talked about that on the Mad Science Show, but I want to try to be respectful of nature. It's really nice to be and peaceful to be. Oh, I forgot one of the other aggravations. I got this other creature, which is pretty a majestic looking creature when you look at it. It's pretty impressive. But this doggone turkey going around eating all my goldfish out of my ponds. And I'm like, come on, man.
It's a turkey?
No, it's a heron, a blue
it's
heron.
It's a heron. Well, you called it a turkey.
Well, he's a turkey to me. He's a giant turkey. I mean, I got the ponds. I put goldfish in there because to me, when I see goldfish swimming around, it's a peaceful feeling that I get, and it calms me down. And so, yeah, I'm going through and I'm seeing my cherry trees, cherry sprouts all dug up, and I'm also going around and I said, well, I'll go back and see my goldfish, and then I notice that the majority of my goldfish are disappearing. And I'm saying, I'm starting to get a bit frustrated here, you know? This ain't peaceful. This is, somebody's aggravating me.
Well, anyway, there's one little sign that I'm looking at about how to be peaceful is let go of perfectionism.
Yeah, well, I guess that's part of what I got, because I got this visual of almost like a heaven on earth being created down here in this little piece of corner of the world that I live in. But, you know, it's not always going to be perfect. And, you know, sometimes not so perfect actually looks better when it comes to country life. But anyway, while I'm thinking about it, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to shazizradio.com, superchat.html, where you have access to not one, but four separate chat rooms. And if you scroll down underneath the chat room and click on that little banner that says People for People Radio, you can go over there and meet those wonderful people as well. So, one of the things about Shaziz Radio, it's a good place to meet other folks and get connections with other networks. You know, it's about the only way we can kind of try to weed through the truth together and all that kind of stuff. I looked up the news this morning on Syria because I wanted to know what was going on. Of course, I already got a really good idea what it's all about. And that's the part that frustrates me the most is that, you know, being a mad science guy for ever in a day, we don't need no oil. We don't need no resources that are over there that we have to basically try to get our foot in the door on or anything like that. And all these other nations out there, pretty much the same way. They got their own resources. And if everybody was to share the world's resources instead of trying to do what they're doing, there wouldn't be no needs for war. You know, Nikola Tesla, he had a dream whenever, you know, he was around that, you know, if he could give the world free energy, there wouldn't be no reason for people to be fighting over resources that he himself knew were abundant. I mean, the energy that he was talking about, it's everywhere. But when you get on these deals, it depends on which one you pick up. If you get RT, you get one version of propaganda. If you get CNN, you get another version of propaganda. If you get Fox, you get another version of propaganda. Any of the mainstream medias that you can basically list off, and even, unfortunately, in the alternative community, you know, the biased opinions and, you know, basically, where these people get their news, maybe bits and pieces of what the mainstream news says. And so, when you repeat something that's propaganda or, you know, maybe not half-truths or whatever, and you repeat it as fact, it's, basically, you might as well just be telling the same story as the other ones. You know, I talked to a friend of mine yesterday about the moon landings, because in 1969, there was a lot of, things that didn't really jive with science that went on. So, could I say we did or didn't go to the moon? That's not the point. And that these folks were so adamant in proving to me that we must have gone to the moon. The Earth must be round, or it must be flat. You know, if you listen to people talk,
difference does it make?
Yeah, that's the question.
I mean, if people are arguing and fighting and carrying on, what difference does it make? It wouldn't make a difference if the world was flat or round, either way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I look at it.
Well, that's
just
how I look
people
at it too.
Just want to argue.
But the whole thing for questioning is was, you know, when things don't jive, such as the stories of why we go to war, or you know what we've done in the past, or even historical events, and when these stories don't jive with one another, and people come out and they say, "Well, I've got the truth." Okay, well, where'd you get the truth? I'd really like to know. But
yeah.
Most folks don't realize that we've been in this so long that the propaganda and the twisting of facts has been so distorted that if you find the truth, you found the golden unicorn, quite literally, or the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And so we got to be kind of, what's the word I'm looking through? to walking on eggshells or something like that when it comes to saying that we actually have the truth. You know, I talked to some folks. I just mentioned this to you off air, Barbara, that it was one time I was in church and I was talking to this missionary lady that goes over to Israel all the time. Of course, we all know there's a big history between Israel and Palestine. But nonetheless, in both of these nations, there are children that are trying to grow up in a world that they're seeing all the bad portions of the world, and they have no access to certain things. And so I asked her, how would a person go about getting school books to the Palestinian kids, because I understand that they have a hard time getting school books over there. And the look on her face was priceless to me. I mean, it actually had me shocked, because she was like, the look spoke for itself, and the feeling I got was that she was like, why would you want to help those people? And I'm like, why wouldn't you want to help? If you're a person of God, a missionary going out there to help people and spread the good word, why wouldn't you want to help these people? Because these are children we're talking about, after all. And, you know, things that you hear... I actually heard one disturbing thing that Trump said, but then again, I don't even know what the heck is who's saying what anymore. But one thing that he did say back in the campaign portion that just kind of blew me away, because I must have overlooked it, but he said something about you got to go over and kill their families too. I'm like, what? No, that's not right, because it's like the Hatfield McCoys. If you got a family feud going on, it's a generational feud. It's not just a family feud at that point in time, and it goes on down the line, but then at a certain point in history, not even the Hatfield or the McCoys knew what the heck they were even fighting over. And so these fights that's been going on over there in the Middle East for probably thousands of years or whatever, over what perceived holy land, or somebody did somebody wrong, or the children's somebody killed the children's mother and father and they were future fighters. Finding peace in a world that has gone this far is really difficult, but it has to be done if humanity's ever to reach a higher stage of enlightenment, so to speak. I mean, I'd like to see a real heaven on earth. I believe it's honestly possible. I really, seriously, deep down inside, believe that it is possible to bring about a heaven on earth if we choose to do so.
But I believe that the heaven on earth is already here, and I believe that we just don't know it, and I believe that we're the ones that are creating hell on earth.
Well, I believe you're right. I believe you're right. And so, when a person, if you take yourself as an individual and you look at all the trials and tribulations you got to go through and the aggravations, like I explained right when we started the show about my cherry trees getting dug up, cars breaking down, running into trees with my tractor, and all the what I perceived to be bad luck, and even started questioning my faith. I said I must have made God mad at me or something, because I'm getting it, but then you said something really interesting that really truthful, actually, that, you know, we have been indoctrinated for so incredibly long to believe that we were bad or we were different and that we'd be punished for everything under the sun. And so
that's an
easily manipulated mind at that point. Once you believe that little in yourself that your creator doesn't care enough about you, that if you do anything wrong, he's just going to shuffle you off to the side. Imagine how many people just got shuffled off to the side if you go by that standard.
Well, we're talking about an imprint that is so powerful that it's like a cellular experience, if you can understand what I'm talking about. You know, well, it's a level of brainwashing, of course, so that's a cellular experience. It's not so easy to rid yourself of a brainwashing program, but it is in our life. It is in everyone's life, pretty much, because the whole premise that the all-powerful God, you know, is watching you. When I was a kid in Catholic school, I was told by the nuns that God loves you, but, you know, you could go to hell if you do something bad and if you sin. And by the way, when you were born, you already were a sinner. Okay, so how do you deal with that when you're a kid, you know? And I had my own understanding was that this is impossible. If, you know, I just couldn't compute to me that we are original sinners. This little tiny little person who doesn't have a clue comes in, a sacred little being, you know, comes right from the source, immediately comes from the source, which is Creator. How can we be tainted with original sin?
Well, that's, you know? That makes sense, because why would you be starting off with the... If it was a battle between good and evil, why would you be starting off if you had a choice to be good or bad?
But you don't have a choice.
With
then.
A bad slate. Why would you
start? Well, you only have a choice if you go to the church and say, okay, I've sinned and baptize me now, because now I'll be fine.
There is a thing called sins of the Father, you know, and I'm not responsible for the things that my father did in his
life. Well, I want to talk about that, but you continue.
I'm not responsible for what my father done in his lifetime, because I somehow or another, through all the craziness, was able to break those chains and be a different, my own person, and, you know, run my life differently. Now, because of the history of my father, that, you know, he was not a very nice guy. You know, he neglected his children, and, you know, when I saw how hard my mother had worked all of her life and that she was always consistent about being there and doing things, you know, I could find peace with my mother, because my mom, she, you know, everybody thinks their mom's the greatest in the world, including me, and, you know, I just think that she was the best thing that God ever put in my life.
Mm.
And so, you know, when I seen all that, I wanted to be more like my mom, you know, not dress like
right.
or anything. I'm saying, you know, her
I
heart.
I get it. I know. Yeah, I get it.
But I wanted to be more like her. And, you know, I didn't stop in some sense, because my faith tells me I'm supposed to love everyone, even the jerks. And so I do, you know, and I don't approve of a lot of things that a lot of my family do. You know, my own, you know, family cousins, aunts, uncles, there are a lot of things that they do that I don't approve of, but it's not for me to decide not to care about them or love them because, you know, they made poor choices, because even in my own personal life, I've made tons of poor choices, some of which I probably passed off as bad luck because I did something stupid and I failed and, you know, it either hurt or broke something. So, you know, that's the whole thing, I guess, perception of what you create in this world. And I've created messes here and there, and I've tried to, you know, find some sort of redemption in my personal life and with nature as well, trying to make things right. And we really got this roller coaster that we as humans ride on, and my ultimate goal from this point, because I guess I found a little bit of wisdom and had some sort of, I don't know what you would call it, but to me it's spiritual, some sort of awakening or some sort of prophetic event that just changed the way that I look at the world. And that's why when I look out there and I listen to the news and I see the things that are going on in war, and I know that all the studying that I have done in my life as far as science, and I know that all of which we're fighting over there, which is in such incredible overabundance, makes that entire scenario unnecessary. There ain't no reason for anyone to die of starvation in this world. There's no reason for anyone to die of thirst in this world. There's no sense to it.
I want to just go back to your original conundrum about you being punished, you know, and how this is an imprint in many of us. You know, I think it is across the board, because there's this concept of when bad things happen, well, you know, you're being punished by God, and when you have a run of bad luck, you know, it gets even worse. And you know, I kind of feel that that's a piece or an imprint that we have to eliminate, from ourselves, you know, our thinking. I don't know, are there things that we can learn from our mistakes? I think we're supposed to be learning from our mistakes. Have we made a mistake? Am I responsible for what keeps happening to me? I want to find out. Instead of saying, well, I'm being punished and accepted as that, or I'm just a bad person and I deserve this, that's a bunch of crap, I believe. You know, it's not that there aren't people who do bad things deliberately. Okay, there are those people. But I'm talking about, you know, what you're saying, that you've had a run of bad luck and you're starting to think that, well, God must be punishing you, you know.
For the most part, I do more punishing myself.
You're doing when you say that, when you accept that, this is what I feel. When you accept that peace, you're really punishing yourself. God isn't punishing you. I don't believe that. I think that that's what we take upon ourselves. You know, I must be bad because these bad things are happening to me. Hey, you know something? Things do happen in our life, you know, and sometimes we have a run of, you know, if you want to call it bad luck or things that go bump in the night, you know, life is like that. But I always try to say, okay, is there something that I'm missing here? Is there something that I am overlooking or that I'm not paying attention to? Well, you know, you could say you ran your tractor into the tree. There's a number of reasons why that could be. You know, maybe you were in a hurry. Maybe you were preoccupied. I don't know. There's a bunch
maybe
of things.
Maybe it was just bad tractor driving.
Well, maybe you're just a bad tractor driver. Or maybe you didn't put tobacco down and say, you know, I'm coming through. Everybody move away. I don't want to hurt anybody. And I'm so grateful for all the growth here, all the green and all the everyone. But, you know, I got to move through here, whatever. I'm just saying that's a possibility. But this whole thing, what I'm talking about is this whole mindset of sin, you know, and so on, that we are imprinted with, runs our lives, you know, pretty much. And then we start punishing ourselves and thinking the worst about ourselves and feeling hopeless because things keep happening. We keep being punished because we are sinners, because we are bad, because, you know, God left us or isn't watching or whatever people do in their minds, right? So I'm just saying, think about that kind of an imprint, a psychological, you know, stain on ourselves that we constantly feed,
well,
you know?
The most hurtful phrase that I have ever heard come out of a pastor's mouth was the phrase when he said that my words were like filthy rags to my creator.
Yeah, I remember. And now, that's pretty awful for a person to say that.
Yeah, because here I'm thinking, okay, so I was born in this world. I don't know, maybe I did choose to come here. I don't know what the truth of that is, but I was born in this world, and the circumstance around me, the folks that are supposed to be my caretakers till I got to this point, and even those that I was supposed to be able to trust that I worked for and, you know, did a lot of dirty deeds throughout my entire life, I didn't ask for all that. You know? And so I'm thinking, here in my heart, I know that I want the world to be peaceful. I want my life to be peaceful because I come down a hard road and I know what that hard road's like, so I don't want others to go down that hard road. I want them to be able to share in peace. But if my Creator believes that my words are filthy rags, then how can I
But that's not your Creator doesn't think
yeah,
that.
How could I, you know, if I subscribe to what that pastor said, how could I speak to my Creator, pray to my Creator, and knowing that, you know, why would He care about me? You know, what's the point? You know, I'm.
But then you don't really know your Creator, you see. This is what I'm talking about, because a man in a dress, if he was wearing a dress, can stand between you and your Creator. Okay, this is the issue here I'm talking about, that the man wearing a dress, okay, stands between you and your Creator and points fingers at you and tells you you are a sinner and your words are filthy rags and you must repent and you must come through me in order to get to God, your Creator. That is such manipulation. It really makes me very angry and frustrated because people fell for that for centuries and centuries, and no one has a right to stand between me and my Creator. Okay, and tell me how to get to my Creator. I'm already one with my Creator. I am a sacred child of Great Spirit, Creator God, whomever you, whatever words you want to use. If you believe that you are made in that Creator's, you know, image, you can't say, well, I'm a piece of dirt. Well, you can't say that. If you believe that you are a child of Creator, Great Spirit, God, made in that image, you can't say, well, I'm a piece of crap.
Can you imagine how many people were actually turned away from, you know, a spiritual journey just because, you know, they said, you know, like I've always had this conversation with people said, well, if God's so loving, why does He allow babies to starve?
Well, God, where is God? Why did God do this?
Yeah.
Why did God allow these people to fight and kill each other? Why did God do that? Well, God didn't do that, my people.
Man did.
God did not do that. Humans make those decisions. Free will. Creator gave us free will. You can either choose to do harm or choose to do good. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
You can choose to love or you can choose to hate. But people have to blame somebody, and the system set it up so that we blame God, you know, for everything. Well, God is punishing me, God is punishing them, those people are being punished because blah, blah, blah. That's where we are today, and this really is the worst, to me, the worst, if you want to talk about sin. To me, that is the worst sin, and I feel, let's say there was an implanted plan of an evil whatever to deliberately keep us away, separate us from our original essence, our origin, as we are one with our creator. We are created out of unconditional love and joy. Okay, that's what I feel. When you create, you're in joy, you're really on a high, you know, when you're creating.
Yeah.
As a creator myself, meaning I'm a painter, I'm a writer, I'm a singer, you know, all these things I'm filled with joy, okay? So to me, when you create something so miraculous as this earth, the water, the creatures, the unbelievable, miraculous things that we see here on our earth, and just the sacredness of a little baby being born, just that alone, from a little tiny egg and a little tiny sperm or thousands of sperms that are looking for the right, you know, being the right sperm to meet with the egg, and it's a miracle. And so when you look at this, you say, how could there be, you know, something tainted within you or within this creation?
Well, you wouldn't give that kind of gift to something that you hated. Why would you?
You wouldn't also set up creation, I feel, you wouldn't set up creation to fail and to start murdering each other and violating each other, you know, unless, I don't know, somebody seems to have done something like that, imprinted or intruded in this miraculous gift.
Well,
now, let's say that the whole thing...
If you talk to some people, they would say that God is selfish and sadistic and that He causes all this.
Well, they've got the wrong God.
Yeah,
there is one.
Saying.
There is one like that, and it's called Lucifer, that God. Because that's the God that the Illuminati people believe is the God.
Yeah.
Is that is their God. Okay, that is their God. Okay, so that, so I'm just saying, but supposing this, that God, that, you know, dark one, that many do, by the way, honor and pray to, and we are seeing more and more of that coming to light, remember, coming to light, out of the darkness will come the light. We see more and more now, if you're really paying attention to those who are, have been ruled by darkness, who have sold their soul, who are greedy, who are vile people, who are doing things in our government, in all the political, the religious, the education, the financial, all these systems that rule us, the common people, contain a lot of evil. Okay, there's that setup. Let's say the plan was to really imprint in the population, in humanity, this idea, okay, that, well, first of all, look at women. Women were the original sinners, okay, supposedly, and I'm saying supposedly, okay, because Eve made a mistake and ate of the apple, the tree of knowledge, and they became knowledgeable and they realized the truth of things. Now, you know, you could go either way, you know, with this whole thing. But supposing that this was set up, you know, where we say now women are to blame for everything. Women were the first sinners, and all the woes of the people and all the woes of women giving birth, especially to give birth, will be punishment. This is the word that people live by, that to me, I just don't feel that the Creator, God, would do such a thing.
I got a strange take on the whole Adam and Eve thing about, it's almost identical to when a child is born. Before they know the difference between right and wrong, what we perceive to be right and wrong.
Yes.
And so the way that I look at it, a lot of the things that I read biblically, I look as like, you know, every little story has a moral to it, or you know why you shouldn't do something, or you know, explain
right.
how things. But the way that I look at the story about Adam and Eve, and I don't blame women, because the story basically said that Eve was the first one to bite the apple, which doesn't make no difference, because Adam chose to follow that, you know, against that that commandment or whatever as well. So both of them were in the wrong. Doesn't matter who went first. That's what I always told my kids, you know, what you do, you're responsible for your own actions. But the story of Adam and Eve to me was the introduction of, you know, at one point you being in innocence, and then and the introduction of the free will aspect, where you have choice between good and evil. Does that make sense to you?
Well, yes, because, you know, if we're saying that God gave us the gift of free will to choose, so it has to start with the first humans.
Yeah, somebody has to have a choice whether or not to do something right or wrong. You know, that's another thing, too, because if we didn't have free will, you know, if God wanted to, he or she or whatever the case may be could be an ultimate tyrant. You ever do or say or even think or even look cross-eyed at each other, and I'll zap you with lightning bolts and torment you, you know.
But what would we be like? I'm just questioning.
We'd
what
be slaves.
Would we be? Yeah, if we didn't have free will, if Creator didn't give us free will, the ability to choose, the ability to sense something is right or something is wrong, meaning you have a choice. And you have free will to choose. So if we didn't have free will, what kind of a person, what kind of a human would we be?
We'd live in fear of an almighty Creator that we better never cross.
Well, we'd also, I can't imagine, because we wouldn't have a mind. We wouldn't be able to think.
No. Nope.
We wouldn't be able to either do right or wrong.
And we wouldn't even want to take a chance of stepping out of the box to be creative, because we might
well,
be in
isn't
trouble.
That a plan to keep everybody in the box?
Yeah.
And fear and terrified of whatever, and then blaming, you know, well, God is punishing me. I'm being punished by God. There is no God. God left me because life sucks, and God is doing all these bad things, and so on and so forth. It's just pretty, to me, there's something wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that.
Well, that's one of the aspects that makes it so hard to find peace in a person's life and in the world.
Yeah. Well, listen, peace is in our hands.
Yep.
As well as anxiety, fear, and doubt, and all, is also in our hands. There you go back to free will. We have a free will to choose either to be angry, to be resentful, to be self-blaming, self-loathing, or loathing of others, or feeling happy, joyous, grateful, loving, and compassionate. There we are again. It's back to free will. Where do you find your peace?
Yep.
If you are punishing yourself, believing that you are a bad person, that you are a sinner to begin with, and that you are being punished, okay, you're not going to have inner peace. It is in our hands to have inner peace.
Well, they set,
or to be miserable.
They set our children up for conflict from the day they're born because they point out the differences. Oh, look, your skin's different than that kid's skin, maybe he's like this.
And that's the imprint, you see. That's generations of negativity in filtered into, the minds, imprinted into our experience here. And I believe it's deliberate because we've always said, and it's true, when you put little babies, little toddlers in a room together and they just explore each other, love each other, in awe of each other, they don't say, I'm getting away from this one because the color, I don't like that color. I don't like your hair. That comes later by the adults and society's
and they
imprint.
They don't steal each other's toys or anything like that, Have you ever seriously watched a playpen full of newborns who's just sitting there and they're just in wonder of everything that surrounds them,
I saw this video. It was delightful. Two toddlers, right? They were standing up together. Little boy and little girl. And the little girl went over to the boy, put her arms around him and kissed him, right? And he went ballistic. He was laughing and she was laughing, and then he went toward her and he put his arms around her and he kissed her, and they both were hysterical laughing. Yeah. This went on and on and on in the video. It was the most darling thing. It was so sweet and just natural and real. Just so sweet and loving, and just being two little people, just loving each other and getting a huge charge out of what that felt like.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But I want to talk about this piece here about your ancestors, your dad. Because I'm looking at this stuff and I'm thinking, okay, in a way, when we say the words, the sins of our fathers, I find that interesting. That's another bad imprint. Okay, now, why I say that, but then there's another side to this, because let's say that our fathers or our grandfathers or somebody way, way back did some bad stuff. Okay, now we may not know about it, but energetically, it may actually be imprinted within us. Okay, it's sort of like a layover or some pattern or imprint that is within ourself, okay? Our cellular experience or DNA, genes, I don't know what you want to call it. But if you think that, okay, the sins of my father, and you said you worked hard to not be that type of man, But let's say that there is an energetic imprint, and we have to look at these things because energy is powerful. And energy does leave, a frequency or an energetic imprint. It's like the waves of an energy, either positive or negative, are flowing throughout the whole of the sacred web into infinity. And we always say, what goes around comes around eventually. It could be in our lifetime or it could be in another relative's lifetime. I'm just saying. But let's just look at that. And let's say that we have a power, an ability that we were given by Creator, okay, to clean the slate. This is an important thing to look at. And it's also, if you say, with healing, for instance, with miracles and healing, you have to have faith and believe in this healing. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. You have to have faith and believe that you are that sacred child. Okay? You have to have that belief and faith in that, but you are tainted with this belief that you're a sinner and you're being punished and bad things are happening. You know, that God has either walked away from you or ignoring you or doesn't love you or yeah, God is evil and whatever. You know, I mean, you can go all the depths of these imprints that to me are the negatives that really confuse people and do a great harm within humanity. You know, so I'm just saying that we do have a power within us. You know, words are powerful. Beliefs are powerful. Thoughts are powerful. Emotions are powerful. So, but we are just being run ragged and ruled by all of those things I just named unless we take our power. Now, right?
I think that's the whole key right there, because if let's say, you know, they got all these supposedly secret archives of all kinds of information from past that nobody knows about, or you know, maybe even books, spiritual books.
Well, some people call it karma.
Yeah. Yeah, well, these folks in control of all that, they would know that as long as they can keep us at each other, or, you know, feeling less about ourselves, that we could never figure out how powerful we truly were, and their way of life would quite literally overnight change if everybody realized that their words alone are so incredibly powerful. You know, if you
yes.
if you just think about it on a tiny scale,
yes.
you can go into a room and with the way, just the way that you say the words, you could use certain terminology, they'd be identical phrases, but just the tone in which you deliver that message to somebody has the potential to make or break that person's day.
Yes. Well, you know that the words, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm only paraphrasing. I'm not going to say that this is the exact words, but I think that Jesus said that you too can do the miracles that I have done, or
he
something
told
along
his
those
lines. Disciple, all these things that I do, you can do as well if you believe.
Now think about that. Say it again.
He said, all these things that I do, you can do as well if you believe.
And if you believe.
Yep.
Now there's the key right there. If you believe, you can do all these things. You can heal others, you can bring people
like
back.
The mustard seed one is one of my favorite ones, because he said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, that means you got just a tiny bit of faith. That much faith was enough to speak to the mountain and have it move.
But the word, the key word is faith.
Yep.
The mustard seed is irrelevant. The key word is faith. But in to say that if you have the faith of a tiny mustard seed, but the real key word is faith and belief, okay? If you believe and you have faith, miracles happen. You too can be a miracle maker. And when people do healing, when we do hands-on healing, medicine people, medicine women, shamans of old and ancient, and even in the tribal way, everyone gathered around because they believed and had faith in the ability of this person who was connected to the Great Spirit, or Wangkan Tang, or Takashla, knowing that miracles happen and knowing that this will happen, you know, and so on and so forth. Everyone in that room or in that circle had that power of faith, trust, and belief.
Yep.
And that's what it takes. So here we are today. Where are we today? We're with lack of faith, with fear, okay, with doubt, with believing that we are sinners originally and that we are separated ultimately from our Creator.
Well, not to mention anger that would also separate us, you know, because we're mad because, you know, it's like when your father tells you how stupid you are, you know?
Yeah, that's another imprint. That's a very bad imprint. I experienced that for pretty much my whole life.
Yeah.
I believed that I was stupid, therefore I acted that way because that's the way I was. I knew that, well, I'm stupid, that's why I don't understand this or understand this. But I didn't even make the effort because right away I hit a brick wall, you know?
Yeah.
Because, well, I won't understand that because I'm stupid, or I don't want to talk too much because I'm stupid and people will laugh at me or I'll be ashamed, you know?
I had to look a certain way. I had to dress a certain way. Otherwise, other people would look at me differently And that's the way I was raised up. And it wasn't by my family that it was by, you know, my fellow brothers and sisters, my kids in school that, you know, mocked and ridiculed because maybe I was poor or something like that. And my pants, maybe they were just a little bit too short because in my family, I was actually poor. And every clothes
yes,
that I
was
got
as
were
well. I was as well. We didn't have money. We had holes in our furniture and I had to wear clothes, hand-me-down clothes. And
yep.
It was hard, you know. But I don't want to lose my train of thought here about our abilities and the gifts and abilities that Creator imbued each one of us with. And we have to own that. That's our power. You have to have the faith, of course. If you don't have the faith, you won't believe in yourself. You'll have doubt, self-doubt. You know?
Yeah.
So when you say that, you know, you're being punished and so on and so forth, then you're basically feeding that dark, energy of doubt.
Yep. And I think one of the things that I do best is because I believe my mom, I believe it was imprinted on my heart when I was born, but I believe that my mom nurtured that through my life was to, you know, share love with people and try to bring some peace to this world because of the style
well,
of life.
Yeah, I learned from my mother, my folks never spoke negatively about others, like people of color or anything. There was never any of that in my household. And my mother always helped the underdog, you know, like I observed my mother helping elderly people who couldn't shop or needed help, you know, help with their home or cooking, and that was my mother's way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I saw that, I experienced that, you know. So there were two different things going on in the household, you know, with my father's alcoholism, and we were all afraid of him, and he really wasn't the father that everyone really should have, you know, deserve. So you don't feel safe in your own home, you know, and you take on this belief that the whole world is unsafe because your original beginnings is in a household where you don't feel safe, you know. So then you begin to believe that this is what the world is like. I can't trust anybody. The world isn't safe, you know, and so on and so forth, you know. But I want to talk about, I still want to keep talking about what we were imbued with, okay? What our Creator imbued us with, empowered us with, we have lost connection with. And I believe that's deliberate, you know? And all the things we've just spoken about are part of the imprints that keep us away from what Creator really imbued us with. You know, the truth of who we really are. If you believe in a God, for instance, then, and you believe in this God, all right, then you must believe part of what, or at least the whole of what God is and what God, how God created us. In the eyes of God, we are sacred. The way Creator sees us, we don't see ourselves the way Creator sees us. We see ourselves from the imprints that we were given by whomever, the cabal, Satan, doesn't matter, but it's a negative. So we do not even think about, you know, the way God may see us as Creator's children, sacred children, created from love and joy, okay?
Yep. That's what I believe. And that's why I said it was so hurtful to me to hear a supposed pastor of a church, you know, a leader of a congregation, to basically just tell me that everything that I said was no more than filthy rags to my Creator. And you know,
yes, but in the voice and the way the teachings of Jesus taught us in a simple way that we too can do what the miracles we too can do.
And Jesus' words didn't tell me that my words were filthy rags. Matter of fact, there's a song that my wife used to play on her radio show talking about Jesus rides the subway, you know, with all the freaks, geeks,
yeah,
and
Jesus picked up a friend of mine in a taxi once.
Yeah, so
I'm telling you, it's true.
it don't surprise me none, but the moral of that story was, you know, when Jesus came down there, he wasn't over there at the the high class neighborhoods. He was down to the people who really honestly needed to know who he was.
That's right.
And needed to get the message. That's where he went, where the need was. And that's kind of like why I feel like I want to be, you know, helping people as much as I can. I mean, I could never match what the book said that the man was, or, you know, or son of God or whatever. You know, I'm just telling you that the words that that man spoke resonated with me, because I'm just sitting here looking at some of these pictures, where these buildings are all destroyed over there in Syria.
Syria.
And I'm just boggled by, on one hand, the world leaders always talk about peace. Their method to
peace for war
is through destruction. And
But they're the ones, you see, it's the leaders, it's those people who need the war. They're the ones who need the oil. We don't need the oil, but they're the ones who need the oil.
Yep.
Okay, so they don't want free energy, because they need their war. They need the money. They need all the money for themselves. So that if you have free energy, if you have your own abilities to be one with Creator, they don't like that, because they lose control over you. They lose your energy of fear. You see, energy of fear, the fear is a powerful energy that the dark eats.
Yep.
And they are all part of that dark, okay? They need that. Here's how I look at it. The Cabal, the Elite, the Illuminatis, the Luciferians, whoever they are, they sold their soul to the devil or Lucifer, whomever, and now they need to pay back Lucifer. Let's look at it this way. They need to pay back. After all, they're owned, so they need to pay back. Well, what does Lucifer need?
He needs us to hate each other.
He needs us to hate each other. Why? What's hate? What energy is that?
It's negative, and it's gone.
It's a negative energy. Well, what is? That's good food, isn't it?
Yeah.
So these people need fear. They need to get us into fear and fighting each other and hating each other, because they're doing their job for Lucifer, basically, that needs that negative food to survive. The dark needs that dark. The evil needs the evil. Needs more and more and more. Needs the blood sacrifice. That's what Lucifer or the Satan needs. So what is faith? When Jesus said you too can do these miracles if you have faith, right?
Yep.
Now what is faith? When we hear that word, when Jesus said that, I'm questioning this. I'm going to question, what did Jesus really mean when he said you too can do these miracles if you have faith?
Well, it's kind of like what Henry Ford said that we've quoted many times. He said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And so,
true, but what is, but faith? Faith in what? Faith in whom?
Faith in your Creator, faith in yourself, because
faith in Creator and faith in yourself, because why?
Well, I don't feel like our Creator made any trash, only treasure, and gave us the option.
Aren't we in the image of Creator?
Well, that's what the book says.
So if you have faith in yourself, as that you are in the image of Creator, if you have that faith, then Jesus is the Son of our Creator, had the faith, had the ability to heal and do miracles, and says to us, you can do the same if you have faith. Faith in that you are one with and are the Creator, you know, Creator's child. You see, so
yeah.
We lost faith not only in our Creator, but in ourselves.
And so if you was the dark
side... And that was
side,
deliberate.
Yeah, if you was the dark side, the last thing you would want people to know was that they had that kind of energy, that kind of power energy, that they could actually do good for each other. You know, this...
Well, the dark couldn't survive. If we're all out here doing miracles, helping each other, healing each other, healing ourselves... You know, and loving and compassionate and brightening the light so that it's amazing, amazing light and beauty, like peace,
yeah.
Like peace and, well, guess what's going to happen to the opposite?
I understand that there's been wars going on since pretty much the dawn of mankind. Actually, according to the book, the first murder was done with a rock because a brother was jealous of another brother.
Well, what a teaching.
But... It's at some point in human history, we are going to have to come to some sort of realization that all of what we've done all these generations hasn't worked, hasn't done, hasn't taken humanity where we could actually go. And so we've got to find first and most of all, we've got to find peace with our Creator. We've got to find inner peace with ourselves. And then we got to teach other people by our actions how to do the same. Because if you look at these pictures with all these buildings that are torn down, there was a lot of people that went into building these buildings. A lot of average Joes that were carpenters and plumbers and electricians. And all of their efforts for making this beautiful building for people to be able to use was instantaneously destroyed by some powerful technology that we have at our disposal today. If you actually read Revelations and you don't look at it as, quite literal depictions, if you were a man writing a story of a future and you saw an F-16 or an F-14 or an A-20 or whatever, F-20 or A-10 or whatever, the Raptors and the fighter jets and all that, shooting fire from the sky and causing great destruction, how would you explain it several thousand years ago? You couldn't. You'd say what you knew, dragons or, monsters from the sky or whatever. If somebody had a prophetic vision of the future and they explained what they're seeing, what the people from the ground in Syria would be seeing, and the death and the destruction and, having the power to rain fire from the sky and so on and so forth, and, that's how you'd write it down. And it said in that book, it said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Basically, God's return. When God finally says, all right, enough's enough. I got to go clean house or whatever. However you look at it. But even that, if you looked at it as a moral, that everything that we do in life, it comes back to us. Whether you want to call it karma or whatever.
I think that that's real because many people for centuries have experienced that.
Yeah.
So it's not just a saying. It has a weight. It has a weight to it. This is wisdom, okay? But I want to talk about creation and peace. I want to say, if we believe that Creator, God created everything, let's say the word everything, what does everything mean?
That means all it is, as far as I'm concerned.
Everything that we could ever imagine and not even know of, yep. Creator already created. So let's say Creator already created peace.
Peace has been there all along. It's just
exactly. So this is, I'm there with you, and I'm saying this for a reason. But people are trained to believe that there is no such thing as peace. Okay, and they live accordingly to that.
And that
they believe that there is no such thing as goodness or caring or love or miracles or joy, because their lives are the opposite of that. Well, what created that? Well, they could say, God, God is, why is God creating this madness? But God isn't creating this madness. We were all given free will to be here on this miracle, this sacred earth that is extraordinarily awesome. As human being, life itself is awesome and a miracle. As all creation is a miracle, I believe that everything has already been created, and it is up to us to align ourselves with what it is that we desire. Because it is already present. It is in creation. So we are removed, been removed from all these things that Creator originally gave us. And I feel that if you're looking for peace, you inner peace, you must align yourself with the vibration, the frequency of inner peace.
Yeah.
It is in existence. But if you say, okay, let's look at a person who has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. So, they're told that they are diagnosed with a terminal illness and they don't have much chance, and they're probably going to live 6 months. The 6 months thing is a really interesting thing, is it? They give everybody 6 months to live. So there's an imprint right there. The authority, the so-called God of the medical profession, has told you that you're going to die in 6 months. So right. There's a big imprint. Now, if you believe that doctor, if you don't believe in miracles, if you don't believe in prayer, if you don't believe in any of the positives, I'm sorry, but there you go.
That's what I was getting ready to add. The lack of faith, the lack of believing is the reason why even people that believe that you can lay hands on people don't believe it enough to actually, you know, make it so. You see
laying
what I'm
on of hands, laying on of hands is ancient wisdom. It's been around. It's been around from the beginning of time. But I want to say to the naysayers who say, well, I had a friend, okay, who believed in God and prayed and so on and so forth, but they died anyway. But I want to ask that person, if that person really believed in Creator and prayed, then that person, let me try to say this in the right way. Let's say that you believe in a Creator, a Great Spirit. How would you feel? How would you live your life? If you have that connection, if you have that powerful of a connection, how would your life be from that moment forward until you do die?
Yeah. There was a story...
Now answer me.
How would I feel?
Answer. How would a person's life be? They've been diagnosed with 6 months to live, and if they turn to God, they turn to Creator, and they make that connection, what would happen to them? What would their life be like if they made that heartfelt, whole self connection to God?
Well, I think that they would be at peace with themselves and whatever the future had to hold. I think that they would.
Well, there you go. So what am I saying is that it doesn't matter whether you live 6 months or 10 years from that point, because your life, you will experience a joyous, peaceful life no matter how long you live. You see, because you made that connection with your God.
Yep.
So it's the quality of life. However long we're going to be here, what quality of life are we manifesting for ourselves?
There was a story, and I believe it also had the moral to it, where there was a man that was... Jesus was in the boat, and the man was walking. He told the man to walk to him on the water, and actually, as he was walking towards him, everything was fine until he turned his eyes away from him. He didn't keep his eyes on it, didn't believe strong enough, and because of fear began to sink, and Jesus reached down and grabbed a hold of him, pulled him out of the water. But if you actually look at that, if you only have a partial faith in whatever it is that you believe, how can you ever expect to bring about a miracle? You can't. You know, if you only believe, you know, like the faith of a mustard seed, it just that tiny bit of faith has that much strength. Imagine what full faith would have. If you had the faith of a mountain, imagine how much power that would be. You know, if used responsibly, this world and the things that we were capable of, we could, in my belief, we could quite literally, from the words that were spoken to me from Jesus and my spiritual journey, we could quite literally bring about a heaven on earth. We have that choice.
That would be your own personal experience, and then you would emanate that, what that is like.
Yep.
What your experience of heaven on earth, because I do believe heaven on earth is present, and we choose to whether we align ourselves with that vibration and what that would mean, or we choose to align ourselves with hell on earth and manifest or create that. But I guess, you know, there's this, I don't know if you've ever heard of Fool's Crow.
Uh-oh.
Chief, you know, he was a medicine man, a very famous, beautiful and renowned medicine man, Fool's Crow. He was a powerful healer. Now that man, you know, when we go into the lodge or the Inipi, you know, which is the place where you enter in and the heated stones come from the fire, the grandfathers we call them, and they bring them in, and these grandfathers are glowing red, and they're brought into the lodge, which is completely dark. You close the door on the lodge, and you're sitting there in this little hut It's the sacred house, really. It's our, I guess you could say it's our church, our sanctuary. It is pitch black in there, and when the grandfathers are brought in, there's this beautiful glow of red stones. They're put in a pit in the center of the lodge, and we start praying, and the medicine person, the water pourer, will put a dipper of water on in certain ways and create what we call the wonia, the breath of life, which is the steam that comes from the rocks, which purifies us and washes us off and also carries our prayers up to Great Spirit. Now, Fool's Crow, okay, the fire keepers with Fool's Crow could bring in cold, unfired stones and set them in the center of that fire pit or that stone pit inside that lodge. They would close the door, and he would create the heat in those stones, and those stones would start to glow red. That's the power that Fool's Crow had.
Well, you know that there are...
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what
you're
saying.
But I'm not done yet, so let me finish. I'm sorry, because I have to tell this story.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, Fool's Crow had that kind of power, and he told the people, just like Jesus did, you too can do this, okay, if you have the faith and connection to Great Spirit. He said the same thing. Now, he healed people of cancer, of all kinds of illness, because he had his connection to Great Spirit, and he had that strong faith. Creator imbued him with that. He basically was that. He lived his life as, you know, as a humble man, a powerful healer, and he could touch, he could pick up a coal out of the fire and put it in his mouth and blow the heat and the healing from that spark, from the sacred fire, into a person's body and heal them. This is the type of faith this man had.
Well, it wasn't just in one culture. That particular deal, there's a lot of cultures that basically do the same thing. And, you know, it also talks about how the original 12 tribes were scattered throughout the lands and stuff like that, you know. So,
all of
us who maybe at one point might have lived on the same portion of the deal, and you know everything went, you know, all messed up. I also talked about all the tongues being scattered, all the different languages, and so pretty much the way that each one of these stories are told from each one of the different nations, they all intersect together, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, I do, but we all had the first language. We all had the mother tongue. We all spoke the same language. We're really all Metakuyeoyas, and we are all related, not just because we're humans, but literally we are all related. But getting back to Fool's Crow, he used to say... He was a hollow bone. Now, a hollow bone, or you could say a vessel, we use the term, other people use the term vessel for the healing that Creator moves through us so that we can help others, okay? Because as a healer, I am not the healer. I am the conduit, okay, because of the faith that I have. And the knowing within myself that I am a child of God or Creator, and that God heals people through me, okay? This is what we were all imbued with, and the command is given to us, okay? But we, to be a hollow bone, Fool's Crow said, is basically you eliminate everything, all your ego, and everything that, you know, can keep you stuck or in doubt or in fear. You move that, you remove that from yourself, and you become a hollow bone or a clear vessel.
Yeah.
For the frequency, the energy of unconditional love that Creator has for the children of the earth. And to be a hollow bone, okay, means that you are the clean whistle or clean conduit, clean vessel with no ego, no, you know, expectations, no intention, nothing, just to be that through, you know, and receive the love and the healing power of Creator, right?
Yeah.
Now, so in my way, and here's what I'm going to talk about, because I had a little epiphany. In my way, and this is about praying. This is about learning how to pray, and this is about communication, okay? significant communication with great creator or great spirit or God, okay? As a child, if I believe that I am a child of creator, okay, and I am made in that image, which we are told, if I believe in that, then I'm praying. Here's the piece. Now, the prayers are usually asking God to heal this one and heal that one and bring healing over here and peace over here and, you know, making everything, God make it all good over here and God bring peace to these people and God bring healing to that one. Creator, great spirit, do this, do that, do this, do that. Okay. So here's the interesting piece, is that if we are the children of God, made in His image, and Jesus said, you too can do these miracles if you have faith, faith in yourself, and faith, of course, in Creator, this is the piece I'm talking about. Then, if I'm praying, and I'm saying, and I'm asking, I'm just going to phrase it this way. If I say, Great Spirit, Creator, Wankantanka Takashla, allow me to be the hollow bone to help others, okay? Yeah. All right, that's a prayer. And now it hit me the other day about that prayer, what I was really saying. It was like a little light bulb went on for me, and I realized, here's what I said, I wrote this down. Now, if I keep praying to Great Spirit, to asking to be allowed to be the hollow bone, I am doubting who I really am Creator's eyes.
Why are you asking me to do something for you that I told you you could do yourself?
Exactly, exactly. And I have to say, man, that was a light bulb that went on for me because I'm saying, wow, yeah. I'm in that place. And I know there is a doubt there. I know there is a little seed of doubt there, because I've been trained very well, as you all have been, to doubt the ability, the power that was imbued in us by Creator. The words are there. Jesus said it.
Yep.
Okay, you can read it. And even Fool's Crow said it.
And he kind of explained it the same way that you just explained it with the hollow bone.
Exactly.
You know?
So this was monumental for me. And I still have more, by the way. I'm not done with this piece, because this was a beautiful gift given to me here at 74 years old, the way I've been praying all my life and trying to figure out how to pray. Because when I grew up as a Catholic, I learned how to pray by the way I was told by those men in long dresses. And I was told that if I pray this way, that I, you know, God will, whatever, okay? And then I was told, on the other hand, that I'm a sinner, and that imprinted in me, well, I'm a sinner, that means that I'm never going to be able to get there. I'm a sinner, I have original sin, and even though I was baptized, the punishing thing that's happened to me, I didn't believe that the baptism did any good because I'm being punished. So now I'm like thinking, oh my gosh, here, I'm still not done with this piece. There's more here that Great Spirit is giving me on this, and I will keep you tuned in. So I have to sit more. I have to sit with this. You see, you cannot find these things if you're glued to your iPhone.
Yeah.
You cannot find these things if you can't get away from your computer. You can't commune and get the information and the guidance and the truth unless you're like, you know, you have to be outside, one with Creator. You have to step away from the machines in order to be able to commune and receive. So I have to take that time. I did that yesterday. I was outside and I was talking to Creator, and I was saying this. Give me this. Get me clear on this. I was saying, asking to be get clarification here about these words that I've been speaking to you about, because I got different information about, wait a second, I'm actually saying I'm doubting who I am and what you imbued me with, Creator, you know, and like I said, I'm not a Bible reader, but I do know that one piece, and I also know what Fool's Crow said. So this was a big, big eye-opener and an epiphany for me. But when I first went to my first ceremony with Wallace Black Elk, the Inipi, the sacred ceremony that I also lead in the Lakota tradition, I just cried. I wept because I realized I came home. I found my way home to the original way of being one with the Mother, one with Creator, praying from my heart with my own words, not the words that somebody else advised me to or told me or scolded me if I didn't get it right. Now, the way the people, the original people, prayed was that way, just from their heart. I'm sitting there having a conversation in that sacred, church, our church, the Nippy, and I'm speaking. I heard the people speak, my Indian relatives, I heard them speaking in the lodge during the prayer round, and I was floored. I was floored because I was like, oh my, oh my, I've never heard anything like it. Because the prayers are, by rote, the way words were given that I don't even understand or understand by someone else. These people, my relatives, were praying from their hearts in a humble, humble way, just speaking to Great Spirit sitting there in their own way. That just floored me. I had to learn how to pray.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning, obviously, as I just came up with this new thing here. So anyway, just wanted to share that today.
Well, it's amazing how many things that different cultures have in common with one another.
If you are going to take this further to help you, maybe, and I'm hoping that what I'm saying may be helpful to others, and this is my personal experience I'm sharing with you and with the listeners, okay? It's just my personal experience, when you say the sins of my father, or when you say I'm being punished, okay, you are doubting your sacredness. You are doubting the gift that Creator made you as and gave you, okay? The power and the ability, like Jesus said, you can do miracles, okay? But we have been manipulated, okay, to doubt ourselves as sacred. We may say I'm a sacred child, but there's still doubt remaining there. It's an underlying doubt that puts us in when we pray or when we live our life, we are ruled by these doubts, by these negatives, and we don't even realize it, you see. So when you say you have a power, let's say there's something messing with you that keeps causing all this stuff to go bump in the night and things go wrong, now you can change that energetically by claiming who you rightfully are and all that Creator wants for you. Okay, because things do mess with us. There are dark spirits, there are dark entities, there are negative things that affect us, and oftentimes things energetically or cellularly hang on and can go through generations. And you can say that to Creator, Great Spirit, or God, in the words the way you want to, that I release and remove and eliminate all things that have been in my relatives, my ancestors, that were harmful, disharmonious, or negative. I release all these things from myself because I am your sacred child.
Yep.
So you can, that's a power, that's empowerment, and it's changing the energy. It's removing the negative, okay? But you have to believe it. You have to have that faith that you're not being punished.
I believe I do have faith. Whether it's nearly as strong as what it needs to be, that's pretty questionable. But nonetheless, the years of negativity, indoctrination, and stuff like that little seed of doubt, that's all it takes, have a bad day and suddenly...
Yeah, you said it. Just by a little seed of doubt, a little mustard seed of faith.
When I'm looking up Syria news, it says there's 4,770,000 results, but YouTube only shows you a little tiny bits and pieces. The situation that's going on over there, how would you get the truth unless you was actually over there on the ground to know what's really going on? But the whole thing is, everybody... That all the average Joe sees what it's all about. the message that comes to you about what's really going on over there is skewed with propaganda. And it drives me bonkers, because if the ultimate deal is basically volleying for power, volleying for position in who's going to be control of the oil field or the pipelines and all that kind of stuff right there, and a guy like myself who had paid attention in science class sat there and says that we have alternatives that are available to us that we just can't seem to get anybody to pay attention. It's the same doggone thing that you see when people go and they, like you said earlier, when they tell somebody, well, you only got 6 months to live. Well, why? Because if there's tons of alternative medicines out there, you know, like for cures for cancer, cold pressed hemp seed oil, things like baking soda treatments and stuff like that, things, because if you understand the chemistry of a body and you understand that certain types of viruses or bacteria can't live in a highly alkaline body, but they can live in an acidic body, then you know that there are certain ways that you can actually change your body chemistry to make it hostile to bacterias and viruses. See, there's two types of cancer going on out there. One of which would be a synthetic, such as getting like a fiber of asbestos stuck into your body and your body can't dissolve it, so it coats it over and causes a new mass to grow in your body that eventually grows so long that it takes on a life of its own, and it gets so big that it presses on vital organs, cutting off the blood flow. The other one is what science says is a viral type of cancer that causes cells to mutate and to grow in strange ways. So both of which can be cured if you understand how they was caused to begin with. The synthetic one is like the way that a pearl makes a clam, an oyster makes a pearl. Is what since the oyster ain't got no way to spit out a piece of sand, if it opens its mouth to get some plankton, and a little piece of sand is kicked up inside the oyster by a fish, well, that little piece of sand can't be dissolved by the oyster, so the immune system of the oyster starts to coat this piece of sand, and eventually you end up with a real shiny pearl because the immune system of the oyster knows that synthetic is still there and is trying to, you know, contain it. And so once you know that, you could go into Dr. Raymond Reif's frequency experiments, where he was able to target specific things to their own specific frequency and shatter that down, basically explode it using frequencies without harming the cells sitting next to it. And with the viral portion of the deal, with any parasites or anything like that, we know that these parasites will live in a highly acidic body because your body's out of balance, and they like, basically, it's the reason why in stagnant ponds you'll find weird bugs and leeches and stuff like that. If you make that environment, which is your body, hostile to that virus, then the virus will either die or go away. And so we got the answer to the cure for cancer, quite literally. And yet, when you tell people this stuff, they would prefer, because of lack of faith in what you just told them, to go through situations like chemotherapy and, you know, harmful, invasive surgeries in order to try to get this mass out of their body. But you're just masking the symptom. And then the other one, with the chemotherapy, you're killing off your body's immune system in order to kill off the bad cells at the same time. They're not like bombs. They don't discriminate, you know. They'll kill anything in its path. And so, if you paid attention in science class, it'll drive you nuts to know that there are people out there that will not look into natural medicines but they will be more than happy to have faith in a doctor, that this doctor knows enough because he's been to do medical school, is going to be able to bring them back to health, which a lot of times only prolongs the misery and never brings them completely back to health. Some people get lucky and they go into remission after having chemotherapy and stuff like that, but the majority of them, they lose their hair, they're sick all the time.
Well, there's more about that too, that there, statistically, those who go through chemotherapy wind up later on in their life having more cancer.
Yeah.
Because of what the chemo did to the body.
Yeah, it basically damaged the cell structure, and
that's right.
The cell structures are self-replicating. That's how you rejuvenate your body, and if you've got nothing but damaged cells left, then you're only going to have part of what should have been there all along, and so it's going to just perpetuate itself.
Well, you know, we know that cancer treatment is a big business. I mean, it's a huge business. We also know the way that that business, you know, puts out their product, all right? The power that they have, the God, as I say, that they claim that they have the answers, that this is the only way, that you must do this. And now there are laws, basically, especially regarding children. I mean, there was a story about this Amish family, I think it was, that their daughter had a tumor, and they took her to the doctor. They didn't know she had a tumor, but she was getting very ill, and the doctor discovered a tumor, a brain tumor, and of course, once she's in the system, they took her, they made appointments for her, she had all kinds of tests, and now they set up chemo, they set up all the stuff that they were going to do with her, so they're stuck now in that system, but the system, as it was really destroying her, and she was basically dying. Yes, she lost her hair, she was losing weight, she was getting violently ill, and her parents felt that this is not working, that she was going to die, and they believed in, they'd started investigating, and they felt very strongly about alternative ways. And they told the doctor that they were going to remove her, take her to this alternative doctor. And that doctor called Child Protective Services because, of course, he'd be losing a patient and lots of money. And maybe he was in, basically, I guess a lot of these doctors, I know we're being kind of cruel when we say they're all in it for the money. I believe that some of them are really honest and they believe that this is the only way. They don't know any other way. And that's how they've been trained and brainwashed.
Yep.
So anyway, Child Protective Services took the daughter from the parents because they were breaking the law, taking their daughter away from treatment that they believe in. Well, the parents actually kidnapped their own daughter from the system and went out of the country to a clinic. I think it was either, I don't know, somewhere in Mexico or Germany, I don't know which, but there are clinics in both of those places that have alternatives that have helped people, healed people. So now the parents are wanted, okay? They're fugitives, and they kidnapped their own daughter because they believed that she was being basically killed by the chemotherapy in the Western medicine way. And they had her there for I don't know how many months or whatever. And the next article I read was that they returned to the United States and their daughter was completely healed of this brain cancer. And now the conundrum was that the Child Protective Services now had an arrest warrant for these parents. And now the conundrum was, now what is going to happen? Now, I didn't see anything further on that, actually, because that was sort of like the last bit of news on that. I didn't happen to see anything. But there's an example for you, okay, where, and there's more than that example, where people, you know, are basically, now, here's the thing. If you are inundated for years and years and years with advertisements and all kinds of things about cancer treatment and the inroads into cancer treatments and so on and so forth, and being told by these authorities that this is the way, that they are spending billions of dollars to cure cancer, which they haven't yet, while there are actually cures for cancer, then you are in a situation where you are diagnosed with a terminal illness about what to do, because you only have this information allowed, because you don't see advertisements on TV or magazines or whatever about alternative healings of cancer.
You don't. And I think every option should be on the table. And I think that's another reason why... I know people think I'm crazy, they think I've gone mad, but that's another reason why I entertain the Flat Earth Society, because I'm not a member or even a subscriber, that's not what I'm saying. But because of the way that the information has always been delivered to the average Joe, I want to be skeptical and questioning of all information provided to me. It's like somebody one time told me about, you know, they did all this research and the Bible was, manipulated, and so you couldn't trust the Bible and all this kind of stuff. Well, at the same sense, I asked them the question. I said, okay, well, where did you get all this research? I mean, you did all this research about, you know, past history and all that kind of stuff. Was any of them books written by a man that could very well be questionable as well? So everything, including what I say would be the holy book, if that's what I was saying, then everything is questionable if it came from man. And so when I talk about things about whether the earth is flat or round or whatever, it's not because I believe on either side of the deal. All I can tell you is that whenever I was going to school, they told me a certain view of the world. They told me this is what I believe, and this is what science says, and this is the truth, and you can never question that. So if you question anything that NASA may have done, you'll have to deal with all the NASA groupies, even though there are things that don't jive with what science initially said. And if I look at it with a skeptical eye, but I question the teacher, then suddenly I'm that outsider that, you know, everybody warned you against. You see what I'm saying here?
Yes, I do. And I know that, you see, when I was in school, I didn't fit very well in school.
Well, I didn't either. The teachers didn't like me very much because I was always questioning everything. Because if it didn't sound scientifically plausible after the information of the basic science that they taught you, and you ask them the question, you know, it takes three things to start a fire. It takes oxygen.
Well, it's quite a system. I realize that we never left. I think we never really left high school.
Well, I don't think we did either.
I think our whole system, the way people function, they're adults now, or they're supposed to be adults, but they still have this system of the cliques, you know, the groups, the separateness, the levels of who is privileged, who's special, who is it that the school administrations pay attention to, who are the elite, you know, who are on the low totem pole, ladder of the totem pole, you know, who, it's the same thing. I feel like I'm still in high school the way these people behave, you know, I don't know. But I would sit in history class and I would hear the teacher speaking of our history, and something inside of me would just scream at the top of its lung, that is so wrong, this is such a lie, you know. I didn't quite fully understand why it was a lie, of course. I found out much later, but I got the message that it was false. And now we know how our history has been manipulated and how we have been lied to right across the board.
Well, and that's why I was trying to explain that about the what three things it caused, that science said it takes to start a fire. You got to have oxygen, you got to have a fuel source, and you got to have an ignition source. And so when they started telling me about how space was a vacuum, I had questions. Well, if space is a vacuum, how can you get something to burn in space like a rocket? And it was a simple question. It wasn't like, you know, something stupid, but that one question caused a lot of ruckus because I questioned the the narrative or whatever, the teaching, you know.
Yeah, because they go by the book. You see, the book is printed according to government ideas and the way they want people trained, so... And you questioned authority.
Yeah, and that's where I went wrong, because I've always been a rebel against, authority as far as, don't tell me one thing and then do quite the opposite, or try to teach me this is what science says about how things work, and then turn around and tell me something that doesn't jive with what you just said. And that's what I've seen through all the education systems, and it's even worse nowadays than it was. If you took school books from today and matched them up with school books from the 60s, you would see a massive difference.
Well, I read something very quickly. I didn't go into it deeply, but about the core method, how it's screwing up the kids. And this one school, I don't know where it was, somewhere here in the United States, eliminated the core programs because it wasn't working for them, and they eliminated it.
The Common Core?
The Common Core.
Yeah.
So they eliminated the Common Core system from their curriculum and saw amazing, amazing results with their students.
Yep.
So much better, so much more advanced than the Common Core. This is sad, but if you read... let me see, Dumbing Down of America, or YouTube Dumbing Down of America, I think her name is Itzerbitz, she got involved, she was asked to come into this new system that the government was putting together about education, changing the education, and because she was high up in the education all of her life, and they tagged her and asked her if she would participate in their new program. Of course, she was intrigued. And she entered into the government's new program, and over time she began to realize that this is seriously terrible and very concerning and worrisome. And she started to actually clandestinely take documents and notes and various other things. And then she finally did leave, but she wrote a book, The Dumbing Down of America.
Yeah.
And it was basically a whistleblower. She became a whistleblower about the systematic dumbing down of America through education. Now, what a crazy thing that is.
They're teaching the kids to memorize, not to think. And that's the whole deal.
And well, so, just the fact that what they're teaching them to memorize is the other serious thing.
You imagine a kid who spent all his time memorizing things about science and space, and then you question what they successfully memorized every talking point, and then, people really seriously get frustrated when you question their belief system.
Well, here's the thing I'm going to share with you about this, teaching... memorization, not thinking, exploration or exploring through one's own ability, right? Instead, it's all about what you've been trained to memorize, okay? And so the message I got a few years ago from Spirit was that this time we are entering into, where we are now, of course, is the time of enlightenment. It means that we are to become enlightened, and the way to do this is to throw the books out, to throw all the training tapes out, to throw all the books out, and whatever you have relied upon, even persons that you have relied upon to go to ask a question about, and just be there with your own connectedness to Source, which brings in the truth and knowledge and wisdom that is already within you, that we have been imprinted with. So we have been for centuries relying on books, textbooks, this book, that book, to tell us what it is all about. Okay, every answer, whatever their answers, of course, whatever the answers were that they've contrived and put in a book. The same way with, like a teacher or a guru or whatever, because the time of enlightenment means that you are advancing yourself to who you are really meant to be, an enlightened person, meaning your own communication, your own connectedness to truth and source, and your own discernment tools, which nobody was ever trained to use. But they're natural within us. It's like the sensory experience, right? You get a sense, a feeling. We call it a gut feeling, or we call it an intuitive feeling. These are real. They are very important for us. They were given to us for a reason. But we're not allowed to use those because it's not scientific, right? Or it's not what the authorities tell us is true. Instead, it's, you know, we're just basically ignoring our real gifts. So the idea of, I'll give you an example. The only way that I can do this is what I know about our way, our tradition. So let's say that you're out in nature, and an eagle flies over you and then circles around a couple of times and sits in a branch of a tree and observes you. It looks like that eagle's looking at me. And I'm standing there on the ground. I'm looking at this awesome eagle. And I'm going, wow, oh my God, this is, I'm just blown away by this eagle and the behavior of the eagle, right? Now, usually what people do is they'll go into their house or go to the library or get online and they'll Google, what does an eagle mean? All right? And of course, there's information out there what the eagle, what viewing or seeing an eagle means. The book will tell you. The book will tell you what a dream about a castle or the dream about a river or the dream. The books tell you everything you want to know. But it's not personal for you, your experience with that eagle. It's basically across the board. If you see an eagle, this is what it means, flat out. If you have a dream about water, this is what it means, flat out. That's it, period. Yeah. Now, if you throw the book away and you're left on your own, like the people were in the before books, you would sit down there and you would sit still and you would be quiet and go inside and you would watch that eagle and you would listen. You would open yourself and you would just be there with that eagle, the presence of that amazing, extraordinary creature. And you would receive something. You would receive information because you were one with, and you had all your faculties honed in, focused on that beautiful creature sent by Creator, giving you a message or teaching or whatever it was that you will not find in a book. So this is what this is about. This is the time. How can we gain and retrieve the gifts that we were originally given by Creator? If we keep referring to other people, we run to somebody and say, oh, I had this dream. Tell me what it means. Oh, I saw this eagle. Tell me what this means. You'll never get there. You'll never hone your own skills of enlightenment and communication with Source if you keep referring to others to give you the answer.
Yeah, that's pretty much like what we mentioned earlier. Why are you asking me something that you could do yourself?
Exactly. So therefore, you gain... I think this is why people don't feel peaceful, getting back to the... I think people are longing for their inner connectedness, the truth of their connectedness to Source, and all the beautiful gifts. I think innately they know something's not quite right, but they don't know what that is, and they don't know how to get out of it. They don't know how to find the truth so that they actually can feel connected, so powerfully connected to Source that you have that inner peace. Once you connect yourself to Creator, you will feel this powerful peace inside of you. Nothing can sway you. Nothing will remove that if you have that connectedness.
Yep.
And I think that's what people are lacking. I think that's why people are lost and longing and searching and also angry, you know?
Yep. That's the biggest resource that we got out there that... that most people are overlooking is the people themselves. It's, I don't know how we're ever going to get there, but we got to figure out a way to get there.
Well, I think more and more people, I'm going to use the word, are awakening. It's an interesting thing I'm experiencing. And I'll just give you an example. You know, I write a couple of things on Facebook, and I'm introducing some various links that I think are important or of information and so on. And my cousin, who happens to write on Facebook too, is a staunch Democrat and completely hates Trump. Now, I'm not a Trump lover, okay, and I've said that before, but I see what Trump is doing, and nobody's talking about it because they hate him so much. The mainstream media is not talking about the fact that Trump is responsible for peace between North and South Korea, and Trump is meeting with Kim Jong-un very soon, but this is the second meeting, actually. And Kim Jong-un just released 3 prisoners, American prisoners, thanks to Trump. And Kim Jong-un is now going to disband his nuclear stuff, whatever you call it, due to Trump. Is the mainstream media talking about that? No. So anyway, my cousin, who's a year younger than I am, is always posting stuff that are really, really negative things on Trump. He'll find a link where somebody's talking badly or saying lies or whatever it is from the mainstream media about Trump. And so someone who I didn't know or thought I didn't know popped in a question to my cousin remarking, well, why did this happen then and why did Obama do that? Which basically would have taken down the negative remark and shown that it was false or a lie, right?
Yeah.
And so I responded and said, yes, right on, I agree with you, to this other person. Next thing I get a notice that this person, this woman, her name is Doreen, wanted to connect with me on Facebook. Okay, so I said, well, okay, I'll do it. I popped in, connected with her, and the first thing I read, she writes, are you following Q? Right? And I laughed, and I said, this is interesting. So I wrote back, yes. And she wrote back in exclamations, I knew it, right? So we got talking, and come to find out, she's my first cousin's daughter. So we were talking. I said, well, how's the rest of the family? Are they a little awake and looking at this stuff about what's really going on? And she said, absolutely not. They're not, none of them. So I'm just saying that this, again, is such a brainwashed system with the mainstream media. You won't find what's really going on the mainstream media because they're all owned by the cabal, you know, by the elite, the deep state.
Well, that's the whole deal. We're up against a massive, like JFK was talking about, a military-industrial
complex.
Well,
he said it.
And
Eisenhower said it. He said it. But the thing is, what I'm saying is, so here's, out of the blue, this person awakening. And then my daughter met a woman at a co-op that she goes to, and they started talking, and suddenly something came about that she said, oh my gosh, she said, you know about that? And my daughter said, well, yes, you know. And then they got talking, and come to find out, this woman is a Q follower. And so people are awakening to the truth of what is really going on behind the scenes. Now, we've all talked about this for years, about the hidden government, haven't we, Shazuz?
Yep.
Well, guess what, folks? There really is a hidden government. We're just not a bunch of nutcase, conspiracy theorists. There is that hidden government, and it is so deep and so dark that people will have trouble really accepting this, you know, because they have been so long, for generations, told one thing, brainwashed to believe one thing. And this is where we are today. So how are we going to come together to be in a unit of people, of human beings, that we all want the same thing, you know? How are we going to do this if this hate and division continues? Because this is part of the plan, to keep us divided. Now, if you are a staunch Democrat, as my cousin is, he doesn't realize that they're both sides of the same coin, Democrat or Republic. It is the same thing. But this is how we're brainwashed to believe, oh, my party's better or honest, more honest, or for the people, and yours isn't, you know, and so on.
Yeah. Well, we got our work cut out for us, that's for sure. And
well, we do, but I'm not discouraged, are you?
Well, no, I'm not discouraged. I guess more more to the point would be I would be more frustrated with the length of time that it takes to try to get common sense out there to everybody in the world, because every day that we're sitting here trying to, you know, I don't know if the word wake people up is the right word or not, or to, you know, get them to start thinking for themselves, if what they're telling us in the media, every single day without fail, somebody is doing without, somebody's getting hurt or killed or they're...
Well, there's a lot of fear. You have to...
Yeah.
You have to know that that's a deliberate. If they keep us in fear and terror, we have to find someone to blame. They tell us who to blame.
I just want everyone to know that there are solutions available. I just want them to know that. There
well,
are options.
Well, it just is. Yes, listen, I struggled with this for a while. I'm going to say something to you.
Yeah.
Okay. If you continue to be frustrated, I was there. If you continue to be frustrated and aggravated and are impatient, okay, you're not having trust and faith in Creator's plan.
Well, you're right. You're definitely right. There's no doubt about that.
The best work you can do is what you are doing without the frustration and the impatience, because you are touching people. We are reaching people. You know, I went through that whole scenario, and I talked about that yesterday, about how, you know, I'm not being effective. I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall. And there are some who are still stuck, and they will remain stuck, and some may get, you know, free. Some will awaken. Some may not ever awaken. I mean, but I cannot waste my energy and step out of the flow of my connectedness to Creator, knowing that Creator is at work.
Well, every once in a while, I got to bring myself back to that serenity prayer. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, absolutely. And that's very true.
I'll just read it for those who probably never heard it, maybe have never heard it. It says,
yeah.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He would make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be responsibly happy in life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. That's basically what I got to do every once in a while to bring myself back to,
back to a center.
Yeah, that's what I was trying.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say that I'm going to talk more about empowerment, okay? Because we have to empower ourselves. We have to use language to empower ourselves, because we've been disempowered. Deliberately, we have been disempowered, and we believe that we cannot make a change, and we believe that it's never going to change, and we believe that, you know, it's we're foolish and there's no good, nothing's ever going to change. See, I want to work with positive language. I want to change the language. I want to change the energy, okay? I want to be the empowering, use that empowering language. I will not say, you know, I accept the things that I cannot accept, because I know that whatever it is, Creator is at work, that I want to be doing the work that I was put here on the earth to do, and I need to keep my focus, and I need to keep that strong, and I need to, in order to do that, I have to have trust and faith in Creator's at work as well, and I'm doing my part. I am participating the way that Creator, you know, has guided me, okay? So for me, that's my work. All right, I can't be sidetracked about others, or be sidetracked that others aren't changing, or be sidetracked that I'm not doing enough, or be sidetracked. I just have to know what am I doing, and how my faith is powerful, and the work and the light that I am emanating, the vibration and frequency that I am emanating out, is my participation and my work.
Yep.
I can't get sidetracked with it's fruitless, it's hopeless, we're all doomed.
Well, I don't believe it's hopeless.
But there's a catch here.
Yeah.
When you, again, I feel that it's if I keep praying, asking to be a hollow bone, I'm doubting myself.
Yep.
So I want to change the language. The way we pray, the way we speak, is a systematic negative in my viewpoint. We have to be careful. Come from the heart of what you know to be true, that you are that child of God, that Jesus said, and Fool's Crow said, and many, many others said, that it is up to you. You have the power. You can do miracles with that faith in yourself that God gave you, Creator gave you, imbued you with. Okay, that's a faith.
Yeah, I believe that as well. You know, just,
so with your language, so the language that we use says something different, though. This is what I'm trying to point out.
I get it. I got a lot of work to do on that aspect of life, because you know it does take a toll on you whenever you try to, you know, I know what I'm doing is good. You know, I know that what I'm doing is important.
Yes, when we manifest, the art of manifesting, okay, is about language, and it's all about energy as well. When we manifest, we are speaking to the universe. But you know what? We're constantly speaking to the universe, and we don't even know it. Okay, so we are actually manifesting continually, and it depends on our language and what we are thinking, and what we are believing is the manifesting process. So
well,
we must, right?
I'll say it like this. You know, for whatever crazy reason, I was born under the astrological sign of Libra, the scales of justice. And that's what I feel like every day, like I'm that scale, and everything has to be balanced. It has to be fair on both sides, you know, and that kind
of... Well, let's not say it has to be. Let's say it is.
Okay,
you
well,
see,
that's
this
what I
is,
want it to be.
This is the power, okay, but it already is. But if you say it has to be balanced, meaning it isn't balanced, that's what you're manifesting. But if you say Creator has already created balance and harmony, so if you say the scales of justice are balanced and all things are in harmony according to Creator's law,
yeah,
it's very different than struggling to say, I need to balance the scales. That says they're not balanced. So this is what I'm talking about, the words we use, the empowerment, because we are speaking to the universe, and energetically, the universe responds accordingly to what it receives.
Yeah, that basically came from many, many years of being told a lot of different things, and now that I got a little bit more wisdom, where I'm more skeptical about information that comes to me. You know, I don't know whether Trump's a good guy or a bad guy. Never really met him in person. I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to speak out whenever it's time to speak out, and I'm going to try to hope that everything works out the way it's supposed to be. But all these different politicians and media outlets and stuff like that, I'm not going to blindly believe every single thing that is told to me. I refuse to blindly believe anything. It doesn't matter what book it came from.
Yeah, I agree with you. But let's empower ourselves by creating and manifesting that.
Yep.
That is better for the good of the whole. Let us say to the universe, or pray to Creator, that Trump is in harmony and balance with you, Creator, and is working for the good of the whole. Let's change the frequency here. Let's change the mindset of a majority of people who are saying Trump is going to destroy the country. Trump is this and Trump is that. They are manifesting this, okay, through their beliefs, through their words, through their rhetoric. You see, this is what I'm talking about. We have a power that we have no idea about at all, that Creator gave each one of us to manifest, okay, as co-creators. We create our own reality, the reality those people are creating. Now, I'm not going to say Trump is good or Trump is bad or Trump is going to destroy. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going into that frequency. What I want to manifest, okay, is where I'm going to hang out. I'm going to stay in that other place because I want the good of all for all. I want the peace. So I'm not going to say let there be peace. I'm going to say there is peace and harmony throughout our world between all nations. That's my prayer. That's my statement to the universe. And let us know the universe responds accordingly to what we give it.
So pretty much what I've heard you say is finding peace is a personal choice whether you want to find it or not. Because it's there. You just got to pick it up.
It is part of creation. Everything is part of creation. Peace and harmony and love and balance and the opposite. Depending on where we want to align ourselves, we give it. We feed it the energy. We are co-creators. Creator gave us that ability, that power. So when we do the art of manifesting, it is in the moment. We use the language of now, of in the moment, like I am. I got lost.
Sorry about that. I just added Patty.
Oh, okay. So in other words, this is very important, the language we use. So when we say, if we said, I wish or I hope to be healed or I hope to be healthy or I want to be healthy, so on, okay, we're not really creating, we're not manifesting in the now. So instead of saying I hope or I wish or I would like to, we say I am filled with health and well-being and my immune system is functioning perfectly. The difference of the energies, we're talking energy frequency here. The difference is profound. If you really listen to the way people talk or even pray, you know, so as the art of manifesting is that I am experiencing, I am filled with this, I am receiving, I am living this, I am.
I told myself I was going to have a good day and I stubbed my toe. Well, when I told myself I was going to have a good day and stubbed my toe, I didn't believe what I was saying to begin with. So,
you go.
Yeah,
now that's a powerful lesson.
Yeah,
you got a message there because you just said I didn't really believe in it.
No,
and so there's a message to you. Well, if you don't believe in it, it's not going to happen.
That's it. That was it because I. Well, I didn't believe it when it came out of my mouth, but, you know, and I stubbed my toe.
Well, that's powerful. I call that the wrench in the works. So people will sit in a manifesting circle when we're doing manifesting, right? And then they could say, okay, I'm speaking to the universe. They get that part. And when I speak to the universe, okay, the universe responds accordingly. So when they say, let's say they've been diagnosed, again, we'll use this this analogy, they've been diagnosed with an illness, and they are working to manifest better health, right? So sitting in the manifesting circle, they say, they put this word out to the universe, I am healthy, my immune system is healthy and functioning perfectly. Those are their words. But inside themselves, a little voice said, really? You've just been diagnosed with a disease. You're not going to make it. This is crazy. This is stupid. And that's the wrench in the works. So that went out into the universe as well and corrupted your positive words.
Yeah, I hear that little voice all the time. Every time I work on something, I explained it like I got this thing that goes on when I work on my own cars. I always get down to one last bolt and doggone anything either strips or breaks.
So there's a self-sabotager within us. And that is a powerful thing. That's a powerful entity. It's an imprint. Okay, so you must pay attention to that, and you must basically be the, you know, responsible and the ownership of yourself. You must empower yourself. Because that is not part of who you are. That is an imprint. It's a negative imprint, and it's a sabotager, and it works very well unless you identify it and say, to tell it to get out.
Yep.
Get lost. Get out. You're not who I am. And then you claim who you really are. I'm a sovereign, beautiful, sacred being here. You know?
Yeah.
This is the power of language and energy and frequency that we're talking about, okay? I see Patty's here. Yay.
Hi, Patty.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Hi, sis. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just came in to hear she's talking about, I said, I'm going to have a good day and stub my toe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we've been talking. Go ahead, Shazus.
I was trying to manifest my day to be a good day, but in the process, I didn't even believe what I was saying to begin with, so I stubbed my toe. And so, you know, it's like prayer. If you don't believe in it, if you have no faith, then, you know, how can you complain when it don't work? It's not, you know.
Well, we have to take some responsibility. I mean, if we say, you know, like, I'm not gonna, that fire is not gonna burn me, and then we stick our hand in it. I mean, you know, well, it's gonna burn us. So when we, you know, and I've been listening, and the thing of it is that it doesn't matter what the whole world is doing. It doesn't matter if it's falling apart around you. It doesn't matter if you know, things are... the only thing that really matters is where you are and what you are putting out, because we can't... That's the biggest thing, you know, we got to learn that we cannot control anything other than our own beings. Yeah. You know, what we do within ourselves has an effect on the whole. But we cannot say to another person that you're going to have to feel this way, and you're going to have to think this way, and we're going to have to do it this way, because it's never going to work. You're going to say, I'm not going to stub my toe, but you're going to be thinking, it's going to be a bad day.
Yeah.
You know? So, what we need to do, I think the best thing we can do is just say, I hope, I'm grateful, what a beautiful day, and I'm gonna make this the best day. You know? I'm gonna put positive forward, I'm gonna live in love. And I agree, we don't know what is going, you know, what the ultimate thing is, what's on the other side of all of this with Trump. We don't know. You know, but I'm sick and tired of hearing people fighting over it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tired of people being angry over it. I'm tired of people throwing it at each other. It's about time we just finally sat down and said, hey, let's just be in love and put out that love frequency. Let's just make life worth living for each other.
Well,
you know?
How would you get a person to stop quite literally tormenting themselves, like I do myself a lot, because I see what this world could be, and I'm frustrated that it can't be, because we can't get people to work with one another. I mean, the answers are there, and so I got to keep delivering this message, but I got to figure out a way to deliver this message without quite literally tormenting myself through frustration and you know, disappointment that the world doesn't seem to hear what I'm trying to tell them. We got every single answer to resolve every single problem, yet I'm doing battle with my own mind, or that little voice inside that always tries to tell you, oh, you're wasting your time, or doomsday's coming, no matter what you do, it's all gonna, you know, come about. And I don't believe that. I keep saying I don't believe that things are written in stone, that we were, you know, made in the image of our Creator, which makes us creators. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering and our own destiny. We choose to live in that hell. We don't choose to actually walk in that life of peace personally, because we're too busy trying to, you know, push peace out on everybody else. Maybe some people in this world just don't want peace, you know?
But we do.
Yeah.
But we do, Shaziz. I mean, we do put out what is important to us. And when we start looking at the world and saying, you've got to change, that's when we've stepped off. That's when we've stepped off our path of faith. If you have faith, then it doesn't matter to you what the person across the street is doing. It doesn't matter to you what the person behind you is saying. It doesn't matter, because you know that standing in your faith, that you are doing what is just and what is right, and that's all that matters.
So
I mean, you can't change.
Basically, what I'm hearing you say is something that I kind of mentioned a long time ago, is I need to be more like that doggone lighthouse that I keep talking about. The lighthouse can't change anything bad that's going to happen out there, but the lighthouse is there to show people the way.
Right, and if you're not there to be that light, then how do people even know? How can people see? This is the thing, is that we're living in a world where everything is instant gratification.
Yep.
So people they look toward that because that's what gives them that little piece of peace, that little piece of comfort, and they're grabbing for any comfort and peace they can find. But for those that are standing there saying, look, there's a better way, there's a better way, and I understand, I've been there. Believe me, Barb has heard me, and other people have heard me be there on that other side saying, I don't know how much longer I can do this, you know? I'm just talking to the wind, and I say the same things over and over and over and over. But if you look at life, and you look at the people that we know, and the people that we've come in contact with, there has been a change. There really has been a change. People have become aware. And we're at a point right now to where we have all the solutions. How did we get those? We didn't get those by thinking, oh, I'm gonna have a good day and I'm not gonna stub my toe.
Sometimes
we just went about doing our own thing and saying, I'm gonna do this because it's right.
Sometimes,
and look where we've gotten.
Sometimes words of wisdom, like Stephen Gibbons is brilliant. I posted a lot of, if you ever visit ShazizRadio.com, jump over there to the Knights of the Roundtable page and just scroll down and look at some of the titles and the actual sayings on pictures. We had some similar conversation to this a while back, and Stephen posted this picture that said, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And boy, that just, if that doesn't make a lot of sense. He also found the one that said, an old man told his grandson, my son, there is a battle between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, inferiority, lies, ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, and truth. And the boy thought about it and asked grandfather, which wolf wins? And the old man quietly replied, the one you feed.
Yeah. Well, Joan in the chat, she says, I have more hope now when I see others starting to see beyond the facade. And they would never have been there had it not been for people like you, Shaziz, and people like Barbara, and all the other people who come together to share their truth in what they want. And what they want is the same thing we want.
Yeah.
But they're going about it in different ways, and that's okay. And it doesn't seem like anybody's paying attention to them, but yes, they are. You know?
I think that it's really that intrusive, dark, negative energy that tells us we're not making a difference. I really do believe that. That's very active, especially now, because we are making a difference, but that other side is ramping up, telling us that it's not going to work, nobody's listening, nothing's going to change. I think that that's intrusive. It's an energy that is rising along with the light. It's, you know, this is what's going on. Because that entity, that darkness, the cabal, whomever it is, they're running scared and they're pulling out all the stops.
Yes, you know, they are.
They need us to fear. They need us to doubt ourselves, and they need us to be removed from the light. They really do.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And that's why I say that, you know, as we go through life, even though we may have to talk about certain subjects that are uncomfortable, we also have to ensure that we put solutions in front of somebody so that, you know, I like every time I hear somebody go into a doom and gloom, the world's terrible and it's never going to get any better, it's written in stone. I feel this feeling inside me that just I know is wrong.
I agree. And you know, the other thing is, I've always said that if you get a message in your head that puts you down, that drops you into a dark hole, that feels, you know, puts fear in you or sorrow or anything negative, that's not from Creator. That's not of the light.
I believe that as well.
Well, you know, I used to be my own worst enemy. I mean, here I was, you know, years ago, and I thought, you know, oh, I got it all figured out. And I would get so frustrated because, man, if I can figure it out, why aren't you figuring it out? Why aren't you figuring it out? Why aren't you figuring it out? And I was so busy wondering why other people weren't figuring it out that I didn't figure it out. And it wasn't until I came to be with other people who had the same feeling of making things better, but different ways of making it better, till I finally sat back and I realized, you know, you don't know everything. You don't know how everything is working, and you don't know what is in everybody's hearts. You decide that if they don't like it your way, that there must be something wrong. And I learned that, hey, just because what I think is the perfect thing to do, it is perfect for me.
Well, Barbara said something incredibly brilliant earlier with her explanation of what was some of the things that was going on with me as far as personal. But while she was talking, the words, why are you asking me to do something I already told you you could do for yourself? And doesn't that resonate with what you just explained?
Well, yeah, and the perception that we, or me, the individual, that I have your answer. I got your answer. She says, all you got to do is ask me, and I'm going to show you the way, dude. And if you don't see it my way, something's wrong with you. Well, you need to step back.
I lost a lot of friends
like that. But you've then failed because he didn't turn the corner come your way.
I lost a lot of friends like that because
we've been there, haven't we?
Yeah, they had the answer, and I wasn't buying it, and they got angry and left.
Well,
you know?
That's why we get frustrated with people, folks, is because we, you know, just like what Patty said just now, you know, you have the answer, we have the answer, we have the right way, and we see they're not turning that corner following us, and we get frustrated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's arrogant, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, but when you step back and you realize that, you know, and you realize that, wow, Shaziz, that was brilliant. Wow, Shaziz, I didn't know that. Then you realize that, well, maybe I don't freaking know it all, you know. Maybe Shaziz is on the right path. Maybe I'm on the right path. Maybe we're all on the right path.
I totally agree with you because it's creator's plan, I feel. One thing I know for sure is I don't know nothing.
Well,
one thing I do know, though, is I don't know what creator's plan is.
No. But
I just don't know what Creator has in mind. How do I know?
But those pieces of the puzzle, I honestly believe, are the key, because even though we don't know our Creator's plan, all of these pieces of the puzzle have to come together in order for that big picture to be seen.
Absolutely. And you know, we all have a piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
And your piece is slightly different than mine, and Patty's also, and mine as well, and everybody else's, Jones and Tudor's. We all have a piece to the puzzle. And you know, you know those big puzzles that they put on the dining room table that's there for years, you know? You never find all the pieces immediately. There's all these different pieces, and they all look differently, but yet they all fit together.
Yeah.
And you usually start by putting the frame of the puzzle together so that you can get a perspective of how big this is. And then you fill in, and you fill in, and you fill in, and you fill in, and finally it's done. You know?
You have to have a lot of patience.
Well, my puzzle is still on the frame.
You
got a lot of patience.
I posted once again into the chat room, and I'll post it in Skype for you ladies as well, that same picture that I keep talking about that says, this picture says it all, and it has a puzzle in the middle and a bunch of people standing around, one person standing on the outside. It said, you are the missing piece.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been trying to tell people forever and a day, that you can't discount yourself. It don't matter what anybody tries to tell you about yourself. You are unique. You are special. And you're a lot more powerful than you give yourself credit for. So with that said, you add your piece of the puzzle to the rest of the ones standing in that circle, and now you get the big picture. You finally know the truth, because it's right there before everybody's eyes.
But that goes both ways. Yep. We can't eliminate another person either, because they are also a piece to the big puzzle.
That's right. Even the ones that we might perceive to be, you know, making poor choices or bad mistakes, you know, their little part in that big picture is what's going to be the whole big picture after it's all said and done.
Yeah. I'll show you my mistakes if you show me yours.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get down to it.
I can tell you, I'm not.
You got time? You got a couple of years.
I can tell you, I'm not.
Well, you know, but those mistakes have brought you to this moment in time. That's how I look at it. I could sit here, and we could all sit here and talk about the many mistakes we made. But how I look at my life and the mistakes I made got me to this moment here in time. So it was all meant to be.
Right.
I wouldn't be here with you guys if it weren't for the things that people might call mistakes, or I could call mistakes, or whatever you want to call it. All of my life I look at now as was meant to be, accordingly to that plan, because I'm here talking with you guys, and it couldn't be in a better place.
Well, slamming into that tree with my tractor and shoving a hole through the radiator gave me the perspective to deliver a message that I felt was necessary that people hear. You know,
and your experience and your delivery to me made me deliver you a message about putting down the tobacco.
Yeah.
Being conscientious of what you're doing on the Mother Earth.
Yep. That seems it's amazing how all that seems to just work its way out. You know, what would have been a normal aggravation, there was a purpose for it. There was a reason why old crazy hair Shaziz hit that tree. One, you could say dumb luck or bad tractor driving, but the message that came out of that on the next show was pretty profound.
Well, what about the fact, or I feel it's a fact or factual, but you could argue with this, is that everything is purposeful.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, yeah, wrecking your tractor.
I believe it. If I hadn't wrecked that tractor, I might not have found the right words to deliver a message.
Well, if you started out perfect, what would be the reason for being here?
Well, that's another thing I kept saying all the time. If you knew every single thing that there was to know about life and the universe and everything, life would be dull, you know?
Well, you'd have to, you know, the first thing you'd say is, well, I've already been here. Let me go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know?
So,
I've seen that movie too many times.
Yeah.
Right.
This journey we're on is an interesting journey, and we're running around trying to find all the pieces of the puzzle to try to make sense of it all, to find out what our purpose is. I think we was actually born knowing our purpose, but we just have moved away from it for so long.
We got sidetracked.
Yeah.
I believe this is an awesome time to be here. I think this is an extraordinary time to be here. No matter what's going on, I think this is the most extraordinary time, and we were all meant to be here, you know. And I don't think it's about laying back and resting on our laurels. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying because everything is purposeful and meant to be that we should rest on our laurels, you know. Or
just be in peace.
Exactly.
You know, I watched a lot of my family members back in the day when I was younger. Some of the older ladies in my family, they would get more pleasure out of running around and basically serving people, helping them out, making sure they had water, food, or whatever it was they need. You could just see the joy in their face every time they did something kind for somebody, to make sure everybody was comfortable and, you know, had a smile and, you know, always looking out for them. But you know, a lot of my aunts were like that. They spent a whole lot of time, you know, being caretakers of other family members. And that's one of the things that set in my mind, like stone, that's what families are all about. And that's what I feel like that the world, all the people of the world, should be like. You know, instead of it taking a tragedy to bring us all together, we're there together during the good times and the bad times, and we're always trying to do the best that we can for one another. And those works in themselves, I've seen quite literally bring joy to the hearts of some of my family members. So it's just because it's work doesn't mean it has to be terrible, you know. It's something else. If you've ever experienced watching somebody else get joy just helping somebody else, that type of love, I can sit back in amazement and watch forever.
And you know, this life is not made for us to be in perfect harmony every single moment of every day. That is the path that we're on, to find that within ourselves. To start out seeing the world in its dynamic and ever-changing perspective, and to try and see these perspectives, to sometimes immerse yourself. You know, when you're a kid, I mean, everything is brand new, everything is magical, and then you get a little bit older, and we are taught and indoctrinated, and we start to see less color, we start to see less vibrancy, we start to forget about the magic. But that's just a part of us in a learning phase. It's like the adolescent to the adult to the elder. The same thing in our emotional lives must take place. We have to have growth. And in order to have growth within ourselves, we have to experience. We have to experience love. We have to experience trust. We have to experience betrayal. We have to experience all of these things. And it's not that we have to immerse ourselves into them and take them into ourselves. It's the experience. It's the experience that teaches us. And when we look at life and we decide, this is going to be my experience, and if you're not part of it, then I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't like the rain, so I'm never going out in the rain. Then you passed up an experience. And it's like this with everything that we go through in our lives. We beat ourselves up because we're not doing this and we're not doing that. And we did this too much, and we did that too much, and all of these things in our lives where we judge ourselves, and those judgments play out upon other people as we grow older and older. Unless we understand, we understand that, hey, it's just life. You can't take it personally. It happens to everyone. You know, we all have to live this life, and it's not perfect. This life is not perfect. It never will be. We cannot get perfection in this earthly life, but we can see within and find that perfection within ourselves of acceptance that life in reality, this reality, is not perfect, but we can move through this, taking with us either the good or the bad or both. And neither one is right or wrong, or neither nor. But we have to just accept that we do the best we can.
I'd be satisfied just to help make this life tolerable for those out there that suffer.
But you are. You are, Shaziz. When I first started listening to you, I had no conception of free energy systems. I mean, I had a little bit, and I wasn't that big on it, because I've been on this spiritual walk. And I've been on the nutritional herbalists, all of these different walks. When I first started listening to Barbara, I was not into, I've never been into ceremony and things like this. I didn't see the method or the means for it, because I always said, well, I'm my own ceremony, da da da. And that was true. What I was experiencing was true, but then I realized that what you're experiencing is true, and what Barb is experiencing is true. It's all part of the whole. And if I place that judgment on you and say what you have to say doesn't matter to me, and if I place that judgment on Barb and said that has nothing to do with me, then I've lost that part of myself and that part of that understanding. It's when I started taking it all in, and I started taking the truth from each and every one, that I realized that this is growth. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. And I began to understand the world that I lived in much better. And if I did not have the courage and the strength to face myself and say, Patty, you absolutely know little bit about everything, you know, yeah. And none of it is pertinent at this time. You know, if I didn't have the courage to finally stand there and tell myself that, I would never have accepted the truths that you guys shared with me.
Well,
and it's the judgments that I was placing, and I was making the world in my image. That's where we go wrong. I sit and I say, this is the world, and it's dynamic, and my truth is just as valid as your truth.
That's right.
All our truths are valid.
I told Two Dog one time, because he came on my show and on the Mad Science show, and he's like, well, I don't really know much about science. And I explained to him, yeah, you know a lot about science, a science that I don't know much about. And that is when you come from your observation of what you've learned about nature. And that was probably one of the best shows Two Dog and I ever did together, because he first said that he couldn't compete with me. I might be good in what I do as far as mechanical and understanding of chemistry and science, but I didn't study nature like he did. You know, when I look at nature, I look at it in a mechanical view. He looks at it in a more of a spiritual view and understands it, you know, mechanically.
Exactly.
In his mind. So I told him, you're just as much as a scientist as I am. You're using scientific observation to understand how nature functions, and you can explain things to people about, you know, different types of medicines and benefits working, you know, hand in hand with nature that I couldn't even touch. You know, so every one of you brings something to the table, and Barbara, she has this way about keeping me grounded, because sometimes I will wander off into that world where I just think, this is all a waste of time, and I'm ready to bail. And then after listening to what she says, the words that come out of her mouth, they put everything in perspective, where I know I'm not wasting my time, and it keeps me motivated to go.
She's like that, you know.
Yeah. Had she never showed up, there probably been a lot of times I would have bailed. Literally, because I got so aggravated.
I'm laughing at it. It's funny when you're in the room and people are talking about you and they're saying, yes, she this and she that.
Well,
hi, Barb. I didn't know you.
Oh, hi. There you go.
You are a wonderful, wonderful piece of the puzzle. It just, you know. And
well, I finally can accept that. I can. I feel it. And thank you so much. I feel it fully within my whole self. There was a long time ago when I would, that little voice inside my head would go, yeah, right. That negative voice that doesn't want you to know how special you are, how significant you are, every one of us.
But it's there for a reason. That negative voice is saying, prove me wrong.
Yeah, well, yeah. If when you figure that out, you get it.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, sorry.
I think that if we could ever get, I think we've already got the wave started out there, because I'm actually seeing and hearing from people about, you know, benefits that they've actually had. They just happened to show up on one of our shows and just heard the right message, just out of, you know, I don't believe in coincidence to that extent, but I honestly believe that we've actually sent the ripples out there, that positive energy that mm-hmm. is starting to show itself. And if I could get past my whole impatience thing, I would think I would be all right with, the way things are going, because I think that we're actually making
ground. Don't say if.
Yeah, well, when.
Eliminate that word from your vocabulary. I am.
Yeah.
I am getting past that.
That's my own Achilles heel right there, is impatience, you know. That scales of justice thing drives me nutty, and I'm like, because I feel like a lot of people before me who were in alternative energy that said, look, there's so many different ways that we could do this different than what you're doing that actually could be dangerous, that we could actually work in perfect harmony and allow nature to do what it does and use that energy as it comes by, like the wind. You know, you didn't take nothing away from the wind. You didn't harm nature, and you picked up some power on the way that you then in turn used to, you know, turn some machines that kept you cool or whatever. And that's what I see. And when I see that, you know, the people out there are suffering under high utility bills and going to war over what they call fossil fuels and so on and so forth, I paid attention in science class. And it makes me angry that people would basically enslave their brothers and sisters around the world just so that they can get this gold or silver or green or whatever, the power that they want. They want the power, they want the finance, they want the lifestyle that they can keep as long as the people don't understand who and what they really are. Does that make any sense? That's why I call it mad science, because they're sitting there, you're telling me one thing in school, and then you're doing contrary, and in the process of doing contrary, you're quite literally stealing from people. And there are people out there suffering needlessly. This earth is over 3/4 covered in water, and somebody on this planet can't get a fresh drink of water in the year 2018. Somebody got to get their act together. And I'll show everybody, there's all kinds of ways out there you can make filtration systems. There's all kinds of alternative methods for all kinds of things in the energy deal. There are people like Two Dog and you two ladies as well that know about natural cures that have been handed down from generation to generation through your culture. And all of that information is available for anybody willing to seek it out. They take and blindly follow these doctors and these companies that sell medicines that don't cure nothing. They just mask the symptoms. And they still continue to suffer, but every single time they will return back to that same doctor. It's,
you know what our problem is as a race is that we trust.
Yeah.
We want to believe. We want to see someone else's vision of ourselves. And when the snake oil salesman comes and he sells us that bill of goods and says, look, I've got what you need, and we listen to his words, and he's speaking to us because he says all the right words, we want to trust him because that's our nature. Yep. It's what we want. We want to be open and with everyone, you know? So we reach out and we take that snake oil, right? And we take a swallow of it. And we convince ourselves. And we did a long time ago when they came with this new system that was better than our tribal system. And they showed us all of these things that we could do because it made life easier. We didn't have to hunt and gather. We didn't have to. We could grow our food here. We could build better houses. The wind wouldn't come through the teepee, da 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 da. All of these things were good. It was a good bill of goods, right? And we wanted to trust. That's not a mistake. That's who we are. But what we stopped doing was discerning. We stopped asking the question, well, where does this lead me? Where does this path take me? And that's where we're at. That's why we find ourselves, because we're so willing to trust somebody else to make our life easier, to make our life better. It's our own self-responsibility. Go, sis.
Well, we started out talking about the peace, you know, like Shaziz was talking about how we can get inner peace. And we've gone all the way around and you're right about the snake oil salesman, right? We believed in that, and still many do. I just pulled up peace and joy, Google peace and joy, that's all. Now this came up. Now who's Isaiah?
In the Bible?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't.
He's this dude in the Bible.
I mean, I'm not like, you know, I'm not a Bible person, but I just Googled peace and joy.
I know, but my brain just had one of those glitches like a stuck hard drive.
All right, well, it's not important, but Isaiah 55, I don't even know how to do that, 55:12, whatever that means.
Yeah, that's the Bible, the chapter and verse.
Okay, Isaiah, now we're talking about a commandment here. All right, we're talking about faith, and we were talking earlier about the power of faith. Like Jesus said, you can do the miracles that I am doing. I'm paraphrasing. You can do the miracles that I am doing if you have faith. And Shaziz always says, if you have a tiny mustard seed of faith.
If you have the faith of a mustard seed.
If you have the faith of a mustard seed. And I was talking about I was questioning the faith piece that Jesus said, if you have faith. And I believe it's faith within ourself as well as Creator, the faith of the gifts and the power that Creator gave us. But here's what Isaiah says. All right, these are the words of Creator, great God. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I have sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. So, that's a commandment, I would say, that Creator God says, you, okay, will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. So, that's a commandment, Shaziz.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, we've been commanded to go forth with joy and peace. That's all I'm saying.
You know, Jesus said a parable called the wheat and the chaff, and somebody was talking about, like, should we go out and cut down all the chaff because, you know, it might spoil the wheat, and Jesus told him not to because that in the process of trying to destroy the chaff that you would destroy some of the wheat. If you really think about that in the modern day sense, we are frustrated sometimes, a lot of times, by a lot of people in this world that seem to be, you know, led astray or, you know, doing rotten things. But each one of those people are out there are actually a piece of that big picture that we're trying to put together. And
yeah,
so I just thought that was important enough to point out, you know.
Yeah, well, I said earlier that I think peace, it's in our hands whether we're going to be peaceful or not. I mean, or feel peace, have inner peace. It was given to us by Creator, Great Spirit. It's in our hands whether we choose to be peaceful or experience inner peace, you know.
Yep.
And I think part of the frustration and anger, again, we get sidetracked with away from that, away from inner peace and joy, because we get frustrated, because we are intruded upon with that energy of frustration at others or what is going on and so on. And I think that's where we have to be really careful.
It's because, like, we want peace and we want it now, and if you're not going to give it to me, I'm going to strike out at you. So that's exactly opposite.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that impatience is another negative energy. It's a low-frequency impatience.
I look at people like Mother Teresa, like Gandhi, and I know there's people out there who may say both of them and, you know, but when I look at them and I look at what they did in their lives, they gave up everything they had willingly, not with malice, not with jealousy, not with frustration, but they gave up everything they had in order to walk that red road of peace, to walk that red road of struggle with other people. They brought peace to people who were struggling, although they were in the same position as those people. And that's the key, that we can stand in the midst of the battle and feel peace within us and help those who we can help. We cannot, you know, it's the red wolf, white wolf, you know, good wolf, right, bad wolf. We each hold both of those within ourselves. We each decide which one we're going to feed. It does not change the external world. It changes us. and what we give to the external world. So if we say we are of peace and we feed the red wolf, then we are not changing ourselves, and we are promoting what is in the external world. If we decide that we're going to feed the white wolf, the wolf of peace, then even though we're standing in that midst of this external strife and chaos, what we are is peace to the world. You it's know, like you're saying, with the pebble in the pond.
Right.
We're getting down there to the wire there again. That's one of the times I don't like in the show because I never want
well,
to...
Well, we just started.
Yeah, I know. But I got to say something here. How I know that the Knights of the Round Table is working and how I know that what we're doing makes a difference is because today's show has quite literally been therapeutical for me. I learned a few things today that could be tools to help me get through certain situations, and I did it right here on the Knights of the Round Table with your wonderful lady's help that you taught me a few things today. And so if I benefited from this show that years ago I got a crazy idea might help make the world a better place, and I'll tell you what, then I believe that it's possible that others out there have actually benefited as well. And I always said, if I could only help one person, that would make it all worthwhile. And I've heard many people say that this show has inspired them, and that is that's success. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, Shaziz, because you always bring something here that helps me as well. And I know that when we start our conversations, and Patty and I and you as well and others, for me personally now, what it does for me is it puts me in a place where I have to go deeper in myself. I have to reach in deeper, and I have to seek guidance, you know, as best I can, right? So that's it's a beautiful gift that you all give me in our conversations. And I always feel this deep connection, you know, when the deeper we go inside of our own hearts and the stronger we become connected to Source, that's a gift. It's a beautiful gift. So I receive, you receive, we all receive, and we all are sharing our life experiences and the bumps in the road that we all meet or the brick walls that we all keep slamming into. When we share these things and you're honest and open with it, you know, we're helping each other. So I just want to thank you for that.
I got something that I want to say. I'm going to read from the chat. Joan has put this in here. And it says, you have made the world a better place just by being in it, Shaziz. And she goes on to say, what a success to laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate the beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a, not sure what
she just added them. Yeah.
Yeah, what is success? There she... Okay, by A. I don't know. But that's true. You know, and this phrase keeps coming up. By a healthy child, a garden patch, a redeemed social condition.
Condition.
Yeah. But there's this... And it's a biblical phrase that... And I say it to myself so often, and it's, you know, physician, heal thyself.
Yeah.
And to me, what that says is if I am finding discord in the world, if I am finding angst against others, it is me who needs to do the work to find that peace within myself. I need to heal that part of myself that seems to think that the outside world has anything to do with who I am, right? And I think that's what we need to stop looking toward the outside world to validate our truth to validate our lives. We need to realize that we are all here in either love or hate, in peace or anger, in joy or sadness. We are all here because we choose to be in whatever form we are at that time. And only we have that power to change who we are and to change how we interact with life. And life is beautiful. Even in all its rawness and its chaos, life is beautiful. It is the machinations that are not always just. And the people, the hearts of the people, can never be totally trodden down under unless we refuse to see the beauty in ourselves. It's just that way. Love each and every one.
I tell you, I want to thank Joan for that message because it brought tears to my eyes and warmed my heart. And to hear the wisdom that comes out here, you know, we got a Maze in the chat room. She's talking about she has a black walnut tree. Collect water from it, and she said, my thought using it is parasite cleansing. There's all kinds of alternative medicines and stuff like that, but the fact she puts that in there, and Stephen posts all the links that he does and things that people can look into, you know, to see if they'll be beneficial to you. This is what we do here on this show. And I get really emotional when it comes down to seeing people do what they do here. It's like that part of the movie that you see everybody come together and triumph over everything, all the trials and tribulations. That's the reason why I do this show. Because of all you people just like you, all the other pieces of the puzzle out there, that's the reason why I do this show. You know, and hear Joan's words.
Actually, those words, she said they're Ralph Waldo Emerson's quote.
Well.
And that, she said, you're very welcome.
She put them at the right time.
Perfect. They were perfect, absolutely.
That's what we do here, folks. The Knights of the Round Table, it's not a club. It's an idea. It's about all of us being on a level playing field. We respectfully listen to one another and find solutions to things that's going on out there in this world. And that's why every time the show comes down, I ask everybody to share. Share the message, if anything, and this message resonated with you and you think it could benefit somebody else. I just want to be that lighthouse. You know, I know it's not my cross to bear the whole world by itself, but I'm like a sponge. I love all of you. And when I'm around negativity, I absorb negativity. And when I'm around positivity, like I've witnessed here on this show so many times, My heart just opens wide, and I just want to open the floodgates of love out there and give everybody a hug.
Well, I feel it.
I think that's the cure for everything. Yeah.
Before we go, I'd like to just give thanks to Create a Great Spirit, Wankantanka Takashula, for, you know, I want to speak that way to give thanks and gratitude for Creator putting us all here on this earth together at this time. And I have to address that. I have to make that statement because to me, that is a miracle and a beautiful miracle that, and we all know our stories of the way we wound up here together in this timeline, and our stories are amazing and extraordinary, and all, I feel the plan, the great plan, the divine plan, because, the things that happened to me in my life led me here in this moment in time, and some of those things were really hard, and some of those experiences were powerful and difficult, but extraordinary too. And out of all those experiences that were very difficult, miracles occurred, and one of the miracles is that I found my way here well, I'm going to say I was guided here, you know. Yeah, and I believe that. So I have to give that thanks out to Creator, Great Spirit, in this moment in time, and I just feel that energy as we're talking here, you know, that feeling like you get uplifted and you're filled with this sense of joy. And every time that happens to me, I know that Spirit is present. And I feel that a lot. As a matter of fact, I've never felt that so much as I do when I'm here with you guys. And that's a beautiful thing. That in itself is a gift. So I give thanks that way to Great Spirit, Creator, for our life here and the life we're living together and the discoveries and everything that's unfolding. All good, positives, negatives, it's all good, you know. So I feel very uplifted and so grateful to you, Creator, Mother, Father, for this wonderful opportunity and the gift that you've given to all of us. Pilamaya, Dokshan.
Amen. Well, before we go around the table for our last word there real quick, I just want to put a message out to everybody. You know, I'm going to be doing a couple things on my mad science portion where I'm actually going to try to fund my research for the future using trash just to show people it can be done. But if you're out there and you're listening to this radio show and you've heard all these words and you like what you hear, please share it with somebody. And if you've been going through your life with a lot of struggles and you've been waiting for a miracle, I want to suggest that you go stand in front of the mirror and you look at yourself. You are the miracle you've been waiting for. You're the hope for the world's future, quite literally. You have something to offer. You're that missing piece of the puzzle that's in that picture I keep posting down there. You know, it's amazing. They call them memes, I guess. Sometimes they put a picture with a little phrase, and it just makes so incredible sense. And Stephen Gibbons, he has this uncanny ability to just find these things, you know, and post them all the time. And so I try to share them. So if you ever want to see what the Knights of the Round Table is about, go look at the Knights of the Round Table podcast page. Look at some of the things that are said on there. And there's a lot of people involved in how this actually came to be that, you know, without those people and without circumstances or the trials and tribulations that we've had to go through, and even as far as all the propagandizing that we've had to endure, and even the educational system, everything you can think about, all these reasons, there's a deal in my faith that talks about the valley of blessings, and all those hard times that you go through were the times that were giving you the tools and the strength to be able to endure whatever comes in the future. You would be better for it. And I think you're witnessing that with all these people that have come together on these networks. Their trials and tribulations made them the wonderful souls that they are today. And you put all those pieces of the puzzle together, you got one big powerful book of wisdom that you can find things that you need to make your family more comfortable in life and actually start building a better future. So with that said, you ladies got any words of wisdom?
No.
Well,
I think that that's the most important thing that I would like to say is that no matter where you are in the world, there is one thing that is ever present, that is the truth that we all share, and that is that we come from the same place and we're headed to the same place, that this is just an experience. And never discount your ability to change things by standing in love. We can never ever make peace with everything, but we can make peace with ourselves. And through doing that, we change our perspective and we bring peace to everything we see. That's the important thing. Don't get caught up in what is wrong with the world. Be a proponent and work toward what is good within you. And that is going to make change, positive change. And that's all we can do. Put the love out there, you know, just saying.
Yeah, this website, this show, They were built on by and for love. That's what this is all about. Every bit of what we're doing here, if you can't hear it in the sincerity and the voices of the people that come here to speak and try to help each other out and actually be the person that actually uplifts the person that's frustrated. We've held each other together for so long, and it's amazing how long. I've seen many networks come and go, and Shaziz Radio still hanging in there, even if it's by duct tape and baling wire. We're still, by the grace of God, we're still here, and we will be here as long as physically and financially possible. And I'm going to tell you what, just today's episode alone was more than enough reason that made it all worthwhile, every last bit of it. So I just want everybody to share this stuff, share it, because it's a good thing. So Barbara, I can't remember, did you say anything?
I said nothing.
We said so much.
I didn't, but I will. I kind of did. I just thank everyone and thank you guys, just for being here today and for allowing us to be here, for coming here. I love to see people in the chat. I love to see the participation. I really enjoy everything that you guys share. It's a beautiful thing to know that we are all of like mind and good hearts, and mostly about the love. You know, I know people roll their eyes when you say love is the key, but it is, really. It's not something to be taken lightly. And I'm talking about unconditional love. Love is many things to a human being. We have our ideas about love. Some of it is in harmony, and some of it is corrupted, I think. But when I speak of love, I'm really speaking about unconditional love. And that's the biggest challenge of ourselves as human beings, because we have ego, and we also have been trained to believe what love should be and how people should be if they love us or so on. I really speak about unconditional love, because to really love from a place where there are no conditions, no expectations, to me, I feel that is the love that really is truly something to aspire to. And I do believe that we are loved unconditionally, that we have always been loved unconditionally, that we are significant and awesome in the Creator's eyes, and that we are never alone, that we've not been alone ever, even though sometimes it may feel that way, and sometimes we may think that, why am I being punished, or have I been abandoned? But, you know, that's all that training, I believe, and it's all negative to keep us distanced and separated from our source, from the divine Creator, Mother, Father. So when I speak of love, I know that those of you here on the panel and the listeners know what I'm talking about, and it's not something to be taken lightly. It is a key piece, because it is a high frequency, a very high frequency, and I believe that's the source from where we came, is that unconditional love. And I add joy, because it just somehow seems to go together. Yep. I think it's meant to be together. So thank you, Pilamaya Doksha.
Wonderful show.
I want to give a shout out real quick.
Okay.
Love you, Stephen. So glad you're here.
And all the others, you know, too, I want to say we'll be on later for a round table.
Yes.
And if that doesn't come about, please tune in Monday for our fabulous, amazing, extraordinary show on Turtle Talk.
Yeah, with Lynn and Bernadette, we're going to be talking about the benefits and the wonderful uses of cannabis oil.
And also, if all is well, with Rick.
Oh, important, Neil. Where do you folks put your podcast so that if somebody happens to hear this a little while down the line through one of our podcasts, they'll know where to look for the podcast that you just mentioned?
Well, there is on the People for People site. under quick links on the right side of the page, there are podcast sections that you can go to.
Cool. Yeah, right at the top. Yep.
Well, if you happen to stumble on Shazoo's Radio and you listen to this podcast, if you scroll down underneath the chat room, there is a link to People for People Radio. You just click on that and it'll take you over there and you can join with those wonderful people. Well, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. You know, I wish these shows we could probably do a marathon, but I got work to do. I got chores. And I'm sure you ladies got some things too. I got to get the podcast up for somebody else. If you guys, like I said, if this is something that speaks to your heart, share it with everybody because that's what it's all about. Peace and love. Take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What? I'm 37. I'm not old. Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Right.
Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.